Hey.
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 Welcome to Crippled System, episode 66. This is Jeremy, super horse on the forums. I play Rhett and Legion.
I didn't realize we were recording it until you started talking.
I know, right?
This is Katie, bad horse on the forums. I play Circle.
See, with super horse, although it's funny because my voice.
Not well enough for Brian to be able to beat any other Circle players ever.
I'm actually going to mention that as well.
We'll get there. You were trying to make a pun?
I was funny, and you know it.
No.
I didn't think that was funny.
Aww. I didn't understand it was supposed to be.
Are you super horse once a month?
What?
This is a dick joke.
I got that. Yes.
Funny story. Well, I'll save that as well. I'm Nathan. I'm Rydia fan on various forums and establishments, and I play Convergence of Cirrus.
And I'm Brian. I play the Scorn, except for in team events, I play Epic Denny.
I'm Andy. I play Mercenaries and Retribution.
Since when do you play Retribution?
Since about 18 hours
since
ago.
Since you got the most amazing models ever. Yeah, that's true. Fair.
You're a copy and print supervisor.
I am a copy and print supervisor. Yep.
So for those of you that can tell, we're a little bit tired. Adepticon was a thing. It was an amazing thing, but it was a tired-inducing thing.
That was four of the best days of my life. That was my favorite con experience so far. I enjoyed every moment of that convention. I had so much fun, hung out with so many awesome people. It was great.
It was one of the better cons I've gone to in a while.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I only disliked about 5 minutes of it, and that's when Fat Asian cost us the team tournament.
See, that's a funny joke.
But why is it funny?
It's kind of his fault that I screwed up and cost us the team tournament.
Yeah, he really should have caught that.
No.
He had been on his game.
He should have also caught it.
He should have caught it. B, I was technically playing on the wrong table by that point in the game. So, to be fair, it's not my fault.
What do you mean you're playing on the wrong table?
So it's a team event. So hypothetically, if you imagine a 4-foot board, you might sit at the left 2 feet of it, and I might sit at the right 2 feet of it, and we would play the game together, consulting and whatever. And John and I did that for the first four games. I think he was a little excited about this last game. Also, there was a crowd for this one.
There was a crowd.
It was me and John Damaris against Keith and Brian. So it was Crippled System Muse versus Crippled System Muse. It was like the event to be all events. And the game was going pretty well, too. So people were watching it.
There were more people watching than watched the finals of Masters.
That is true.
We had a
bigger crowd than the finals of Masters. So John was being crowded over a little bit. So he was sitting in the center 3 feet of the table. And I was sitting in the right 6 inches of the table. So it was a kill box scenario. I measured up the 14 inches. I made sure my caster was 14 and a half inches up to be safe. And she was dead center in front of me, middle of the table, right? Dead center in front of me, which it turns out is about 4 inches from the edge of the board.
Well, he almost moved her off the table.
He literally did almost move her off the table.
I was so excited because I was the only person of the four of us that realized. Even as soon as he touched him, I'm like, man, I don't think he realizes he only has an inch of the table he's sitting in. And sure enough, he's like, he measured his 14-4 and just walked sideways thinking he was fine.
Because the table, like, it was green for 20 feet. Like, there was a tiny seam where the next table started that my brain didn't see. My brain's like, I'm sitting at the table. My caster is directly in front of me. My caster is in the middle of the table. Not my caster is technically on a different board.
Yeah, I would have had to stop you. Well, actually, that's an illegal move because you've got cross tables. Which is my fear, you'd have to, like, undo everything. But luckily you stopped right at the edge.
Yeah. Which is frustrating because John and I were in – I thought it was a rough matchup, but John and I were doing really well because Keith and Brian, they missed a Hellmouth. So we had about 7 more zealots than we should have, which is super handy to have. And so we were really having good tempo. I think they had probably a 60 to 70% assassination run on Krios that we were forcing them to take.
Because the killbox, you couldn't hide.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, that assassination was going to be there, but the fact that it was only a 60% was the best we could do. And if they had failed that, we would have had that game solid as hell. But luckily for them, Damaris is fat and I'm stupid. And the combination of those two things just said, here, you guys can have the game without any effort.
Now, I will say, my favorite, I have two favorite parts of this game. The the first one, it was when I saw your face afterwards, and there everyone was joking about it, and I was like, man, Nathan is doing a really good job not raging out. It was, and then you came back around, you actually smiled, and yes. I was shocked. But then that and the picture that came out with you and Keith, and you're like the
oh
Grinch
my gosh.
At the table. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's my new picture on my wall. I've made it my background on my Facebook page.
With Haley and Denny on the side yeah. of it too to stretch it out. It was
if I did it any other way it would have stretched it. So I was like I need space on each side. How conveniently I just throw pictures of our casters there and it worked out well. Which was I'm sure we'll reverse back. We're kind of starting in the middle of the event,
but great event.
Yeah,
is the point.
Yeah, yeah, it was amazing. Adepticon this year was. I mean, the last time I was at Adepticon, I was sick for the entire time, which was pretty awful. So.
That was 2 years. Oh, you didn't go last year.
I only
visited last year.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot
and this is
that.
The first con in almost a year and a half where I actually played. I played 16 or 17 games of War Machine in tournaments on top of playing Iron Arena games. So I was like all in all weekend playing games.
Yeah, there was a lot of War Machine happening.
So is there any pre-Adepticon talk you want to talk about before we go into
it? Do we have any announcements? That would be a good first thing.
The 19th of April is going to be the Cedar Rapids event.
Yep. Not the 26th. They moved it.
Yes, I'm aware.
Also, Aduro announced a 19th event in Des Moines on the same day, which I called them out on already. I'm like, you do know there's an event on your like neighbor city on that same day that's been announced for a while.
Oh, so all the Muse people I talked to over the weekend that said that they were going to try to make the one in Cedar Rapids on the 19th
were
lying.
We might get a few of them. I know mm-hmm. we still might get a couple.
Colin will probably go, but
I don't want to spoil it, but I do have a thing for Keith. I don't want.
I almost didn't recognize Colin because he cut his hair in a mullet, and the time before that I had seen him, he had like a floppy mop hair going, and then. His
mullet was astounding. He looked like a greaser. He looked like he should have been singing with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John.
Foster went with the surfer Seattle look.
Yes.
You know, that was a whole different look for Foster as well.
True story, the first 10 minutes I was talking to Charles Foster, I had no clue who he was. Because I just didn't recognize him. Like, I knew who he was. He was talking. And then finally, my brain filtered out the hair. And I was like, oh, it's Chuck. Never mind. And he's making faces at me.
Yeah, I'm making faces.
I was also super exhausted. Like, I got there at like 10 o'clock Wednesday night after working a 10-hour day and driving 3 hours with Professor Lust. And then a guy with weird hair starts talking to me like he knows me. It took a while for my brain to figure it out.
We have okay. What happens, I mean, we do get run into people that I can't remember everyone. And everyone's always cool, but there's always like a few people who I talk to just for a few minutes one con who remembers me more than I remember them. So they're talking to me a lot. The next con, I'm like, man, I know this person, but I don't know who they are. I mean, that just happens at cons. It happens to everyone at some point. I mean, I've talked to people who I know they don't remember who I am. And so it's a back and forth thing. So it's not.
Oh, yeah. I get that as well.
Many people. How many people attended this? It had to have been over 100.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
You're a digit off, I think.
Yeah. But just the War Machine part.
Oh, just the War Machine. Even still, the War Machine room was a lot.
It was pretty good. I, from what I heard from Travis and them, it was a little bit down from last year.
Yeah.
But overall, it was a lot more space, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to what it was last year, it was there's more than enough room for everybody, which was good.
Yeah. Yes. But even at its height, they still had – I mean, they had – there was two huge rows of Iron Arena that was always full. Then the middle section was, you know, either Iron Arena Masters or Masters or something else, or who the boss was going on there. And then there was 2 to 3 rows set aside for whatever big event of the day there was too. So I mean, there was just so many people doing, but it was nice. There wasn't a lot of butt to butt. It was actually spaced out nice this year.
Yeah, no, I didn't feel crowded as I played, which was nice.
Yeah, some cons you're like, man, I don't have anywhere to move, and it gets annoying.
There's enough room in between tables where you can actually have people. As a judge, I appreciate that so much because trying to get to some tables first when somebody's asking a question, you have to like leap over chairs and shove people out. You know, it's much nicer.
I'm imagining you like a football linebacker charging through a room right now. It's kind of funny to me.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go first with your Adepticon weekend, Andy?
My Adepticon weekend involved a lot of working.
That's true.
I did not get in any games at all. I was wanting to play some Iron Arena. That just didn't happen. Because every day I would get done at like 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, then have dinner of some sort, and then go to bed. Because I had to be up at 6 the next day to come judge some more.
On your squeaky, squeaky cot.
Yeah, on a ridiculously squeaky cot. Somebody stole my cot. I don't know who it is, but somebody has my cot, and I had to get a new one. and it sucks.
It's really squeaky.
Yeah. Every time I moved in it, it sounded like I just ripped a really big one.
Well, the solution is don't move. I feel like it's fairly obvious.
Or just rip a really big one every time so that it's not confusing.
Well, and at that point, the room will be so smelly that your people in the bed will leave and you can just move over.
Speaking of so a little off topic, is it the comedian? Was it John Pinchot?
Damn it.
Fuck. Fat man died at 50. Shocking.
Yeah.
Oh, he died?
Yeah.
Yeah. In a Pennsylvania hotel. That's all I know. I didn't read the story.
I just saw it. Yeah, well.
You're
fat and 50, you're going to die.
Yeah. He just had a comedy routine that I just posted on my Facebook that right at the part there where he's talking about eating beets and such and gives him really bad gas. And he was driving in a car, and it was in the middle of winter. And before he could say "I'm sorry," they hit a guardrail.
What?
Really?
It was just a part of the story.
Oh, okay.
It's
John Pinay. Is it Pinay?
I never heard of him.
You think
of
Bronson Pinchot?
No. It's Pinay. It's like P-I-O-N. Yeah. E-T. Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. Okay. But. I liked his routine. But anyway, so I judged Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Then I did...
So who's the third? Because there was him and there was Mickey Rooney. They always die in threes.
Tomorrow.
We'll see. Okay. It doesn't have to be in the same time.
Some celebrity will die tomorrow.
That's depressing as hell.
Not really. Thank you for that. There's so many celebrities. Somebody is bound to die.
Yeah, that's to just be fair... Yeah, one of them was 92, and the other one was spherical. Like, these weren't surprising deaths.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Moving on.
I don't even remember my second. I judged Who's the Boss. I ran Who's the Boss. The winner ended up going to Michael Stokes, the third.
Tell us the wrinkle about your favorite thing to do as Dealer's Choice, which is to make Karch have a warlock. What did you discover?
Yeah, so... It was a new thing. We've been running this 14 times officially, and we found out that Karchev, well, he's got body systems as a warcaster, which makes it, if those are disabled, he cannot allocate focus, which makes it very interesting when he becomes a warlock. His body systems are disabled. That means he can't read Fury.
That seems bad.
So he...
That's unfortunate.
The guy that was playing Karchev, I gave it to him. He had a gladiator and a bronze back, so he was happy to have Karchev. He took a free strike from a druid wilder.
What?
What's his defense?
Oh, Karchev, nothing. Karchev's like 11, 12, okay. 12, I think it is.
I was say, they're like Matt 5 or
but
6.
His armor's like 19?
Yeah, that's
the scary part.
Yeah, wilder took out the body.
Wow. So,
and Karchev had no fury on him. So he couldn't reave Fury, and he can't cut himself.
Because cutting
Fury
is reaving Fury.
Because cutting Fury is reaving Fury. And we also learned too that if he cuts himself, you have to randomly assign it to a column.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Well, he's taking damage.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
So, so he had two bronze. He had a bronze back and a gladiator, and both of them. One of them was it was actually going against Mordekar, who was leading a circle force, and Titan went off and attacked a tree. Bronzeback went off and attacked a tree, and then Mordekar killed Karchev.
Yeah,
with a lantern to the face. So yeah,
it is unfortunate he was not able to cut from himself even to heal.
Yeah,
he could. He had only one ability he could be medicated by the whip guys.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He could be medicated by them, and he also has an ability to his Arcanite Turbine. He can actually...
Arcanic Turbine.
Yep. His Turbine could have actually produced a Fury for him to heal with.
Yeah, gotcha.
But yeah, it was unfortunate for Karchev that turn.
That is bad times.
The only board game or slight game that we got to play, I got to play a wonderful game of Resistance with Katie.
It's not really a board game, to be fair.
There's a board.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a board game.
Oh, yeah, I guess that is. There is a little board. And there's a little scoreboard.
It involved Keith, myself, Keith Hooks,
The captain.
Greg, his last name escapes me.
Sean, teammate, Jeremy, myself.
And Rhino.
And then Dan.
Yep.
From Chicago?
Dan from Chicago. It turns out that Keith Christensen was a spy, outed out immediately. Jeremy was a spy, but...
I said he was a spy the entire time until I looked at his card and then accidentally said the wrong word.
I didn't even realize
I said the wrong word. Oh. Like, I had been telling Tony that Jeremy was a spy, and Tony was like, oh, I guess I don't have a reason to believe that he's resistance because, you know, I haven't been given anything. He's just said that I was resistance, which is true.
Which was true.
Yeah. And so I looked at Jeremy's card, I turned to T-Mage, and I was like, I told you he was resistance. And like, it didn't even occur to me that I had said the wrong word until everyone was like, what are you talking about? And then I yelled profusely at both T-Mage and Jeremy, very angrily, because nobody would believe me.
But at that point, everyone just assumed she was a bad liar.
She was like, I told you that he was a resistance. Wait, no, he's a spy.
Yeah, like my whole face was like, oh man, she's going to out me, we're going to lose. She just said resistance, that's amazing.
Yeah, well, and then my favorite part is we were talking about it later, and Jeremy was like, yeah, at that point I winked at Keith. Like, if anybody had been watching Jeremy, they would have known.
Yep.
But I'm just an idiot.
So was Keith outed just randomly?
Very first action card of the game was handed to Rhino, who's a terrible liar, and Rhino looked at Keith's card and was like, yep, he's resistance. And we were like, yeah, we believe you because you're a bad liar.
No, he said he was spy immediately.
And we were like, yeah, we all believe you because you're a bad liar. And so Keith was just like, all right, so I'm a spy. So he spent the rest of the game just being like, you know, I really trust these people, and we should like just totally fucking with their heads.
Well, and the thing is, like, I had identified three of the spies. Well, I guess Keith, everyone had identified, and like nobody would listen to me. But for some reason, they were listening to Keith, who is a known spy. Like, I don't understand the logic of these people.
The best thing is, on the second mission, the first four-person mission, I get sent on the mission. I have a card that lets me look at someone else's vote. I look at someone else's vote on the mission, look at it, go, yep, he said no, and then slid my no into the pile to fail it. And everyone believed me that, yeah, I was just right. I was telling the truth about his vote. It was amazing.
It was terrible. I was so angry. I said very mean things to you.
You did.
And I'm sure, yeah.
You beat Jeremy.
She did. Just profusely.
Physically.
That explains the sounds in the room.
He just kept lying. Like, he just, and he wouldn't, like, his face was like, I don't understand why you keep calling me a spy, and it made me so angry. No, it wasn't that over the top. It was just like I was a crazy person.
No one would believe that ever.
Well, and so I'd get angry, which just kind of proves his point that I'm a crazy person. It was the worst ever. I hated it.
So, spy win then?
Spy win.
And the best part is people did start to believe me, but it was too late at that point.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they believed you, and then they sent the two people that Keith and I had been trying to convince them to take all along. So we actually double failed the fourth mission.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nobody would believe me that you were a spy.
No, nobody like, believed that Andy was a spy. That was great. I had everybody in my pocket at that point.
I was like, Andy's clearly a spy.
Clearly a spy,
and everyone was just like, I don't know.
I was telling the captain, I was like, yeah, you can trust me. We're all good.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Captain? I understand why you have no friends.
What?
Why would you say that about the captain?
That's just a true statement.
Sean loves him. Teammates started calling Sean Smee.
Oh my god, that's great.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we were up there playing like Ricochet Robot or something. He's like, yeah, Sean's like, yeah, it's the captain. And so he's just like, shut up, Schmee.
It was fun times.
He did look so dejected in that picture that Brian took.
Yes.
It was a good picture of Keith.
It's one of the pictures with Bender in it.
No, it was just Keith by himself sitting at the table. It was during our Iron Arena game on Friday.
Yeah.
I played a couple games of that. It was fun.
I got to judge like one of my... When I've judged events, I've never actually sat down and actually judged Masters. I've always felt like that was for somebody else, but I got to judge Masters, the Iron or the Iron Gauntlet finals, which was a lot of fun. With Nathan, that is. That did better judging than I did. I just observed and went to Nathan for questions.
Well, it was mostly DC.
The final round was me, DC, and Hungerford sitting there. But Andy was, like, judged for the whole event.
Yeah.
So he was because DC and Hungerford and I were literally sitting down at the final table, the other games were all Andy.
Yeah.
So. Although everybody, including Andy, was watching the final game anyway. But others didn't matter. Like, every once we'd hear Tony Faber and Walter, like, two tables over, just laughing and joking about their people killing each other and stuff like that. Like, they were having a blast.
They were having a good time. Yeah,
nobody actually called judges over during that final round either. It wasn't anything that was outlandish, which is good.
Yep.
It just means good, clean gameplay or able to resolve stuff.
I'm surprised you guys didn't need more judges for the one that Brian was playing in. Seemed like
the team tournament?
The Commander's Crucible.
So it seemed like that would need two or three judges right there.
Hey, we actually had a...
It's a three-round tournament.
There were multiple judges there.
Were there?
Yeah, there were. I had any questions. There was plenty of people there. It was a well-regulated event.
I thought they were going to do a three-round round-robin.
That was... shut it down. It's not an official thing to do. You can't change the rules.
I see.
Even though four people sign up.
So the four people there.
Like, if all four people agreed.
That doesn't matter. It's not how it, you don't.
Okay.
That's irrelevant.
After the two-round event, the rest of you could have just, the four of you could have just played a casual game and then exchanged coins.
way too tired.
Sure.
That's true. That you were tired. You were forgetting things all over the place.
Yes. So was everyone else. Anything else from?
That was pretty much it. That was my last... My last thing. I didn't do that much except for observe other people play War Machine.
Very cool.
It was a good time, though. I got to hang out, have fun.
Yeah.
Who should go next?
No, Brian should end because he had the most successful Adepticon. That is his right. We will move on to Jeremy.
No. I was not the most successful.
You did really good.
Jeremy did extremely well.
Yeah.
Jeremy had the second most successful Adepticon.
Dan was a... failed double-handed thrill from making Masters. So even though Dan didn't make Masters and didn't win anything, he literally failed. He tried to throw a Gladiator out of the zone to get his fifth control point. He had a Nightmare try to throw a Gladiator, and he rolled a 16 strength, and the Gladiator rolled a 17 on the strength roll.
Yeah.
So he didn't get out of the zone, and then he ended up losing. But he had four control points in the third round, and he was 2-0 in his very last game. That throw succeeds. He auto wins.
That's Dan Wasmer.
Yep. Even though he didn't make it, he was one so dice roll away from making Masters.
And
Path from Milwaukee did make it into the Iron Gauntlet Finals.
Yep.
But those are our honorable mentions, people who aren't here from our area that did do well.
Yes. Well, Alex Schaefer made it into Masters. Yes. He's not from our area, but we talk about him a lot. Yes.
He's been on the podcast.
He's a friend.
He's a friend
of the podcast.
And we all slept with him.
He's a black friend. Everybody needs one of those.
Jordan did really well as well. So,
just saying.
Kind of from our area as well.
But. True.
Yeah.
It's way more hipster than black.
More hipster than black.
Not mutually exclusive.
My experience says they are.
Wait.
What?
Anyway, all right. My Adepticon, pulling it back a little bit. I also played a ridiculous amount of War Machine, as did Brian. I would have lost my voice either way, but I lost it playing War Machine as opposed to board games. I played in the first Masters qualifier, the second heat of the Masters qualifier, the second heat of the Iron Gauntlet qualifier, and then based on my performance in the previous tournaments, I played Masters. So the first Iron Gauntlet qualifier, I won my first game, lost my second game, won my third game. The one I lost was actually by far the most interesting. I was playing my Eval list versus Emorvana, run by Cheddar Caveman, who's also sort of a semi-local. He's from the Chicago area. He readily admitted after our game that he had the hottest – his dice – I can't look at you right now – that his dice were just ridiculously amazing. He shot a Sunder Spirit at a Scythian and did half of its health. That's not generally something you do with a Sunder Spirit. And then he shot it with a Woldrath and did the other half of its health. So I lost a Scythian to a Woldrath Pow 14 gun and a Pow 12 Sunder Spirit. So that was not good for me.
What I like most is that you said, I can't look at you right now, to Nathan, and then you continue to stare at him throughout your entire story.
I know, right? So anyway, but the game actually, from that point, started to swing my way. I got an assassination try at Imorvana, and then I just couldn't hit her. I just could not hit her on the assassination try. So he wound up winning that game. And then my game three was just, I mean, we were all in it to try to make Masters, but we decided to play our third game. I played against Craig Quesada, cool guy. We had a fun game, but I won that one. So I went 2-1. Second heat, I played, I won all three, so I qualified. I won't say anything particularly amazing about it. My round two opponent, actually, I did feel a little bit bad. He hadn't slept in 36 hours, so he was playing Butcher 3 versus E. Lilith, and I went first, and at the bottom of two, I scored two control points. That's a tired player. Like, we were playing out flank. He just straight didn't notice that I had Lilith in a zone, and oh, by the way, none of his guys were in the zone, and he moved his whole army the other direction.
That's not good.
It was not good for him. So I scored it, then I scored it. He managed to run Conquest into the zone to contest it, but then I just popped Lilith's feet and shot it off the table and won. So it was, I think, had he not been so tired, it would have been actually a really rough matchup for me. But as it turned out, I kind of lucked into it. And then the third game in that heat was against Gareth.
Well, didn't you tell me that he almost won anyway?
If I hadn't killed the Conquest, he would have won. Just straight up. I had no answer. If I hadn't killed the Conquest under the feet, he would have killed Lilith. She was on zero camp, standing right near Conquest. And Butcher 3 hadn't feeded yet, so yeah. The third game, I wound up playing a Gareth player with Evail with a wall right in the middle of my side of the table outside of the kill box. So that's how that game went. I just occultated myself and won the game. Like, there was just nothing he could do. So very fun. Made it into Masters. I played in the Iron Gauntlet qualifier. I went 1-1. My second game, I played against JVM. And as Fat Asian would say, I pissed down my leg really hard. I got zero army points, zero control points, and I died on the bottom of one.
Good call.
Yep.
You did a good job, dearie.
Yeah, I really did. At that point, I had joined the Iron Gauntlet qualifier, no lie, because we were 10 Iron Arena points, and I wanted to get a color print. So I was just like, I'm going to play Elo's both times.
To be fair, as did I. We were 10 points shy of a poster, and we know how fast those things go away now. So we're like, we joined a tournament just for the 10 points.
Just for the 10 points. So just Elo's. Oh, look, I lost. Excellent. Poster done. So my goal was met in that tournament, even though I didn't win. The games I will actually talk about a little bit more, and I know you guys love my battle reports, but...
Well, they're Masters. They're also Masters.
They're Masters battle reports, so I want to talk about them.
People care about this, Jeremy.
So, round one,
We don't know why, but they do.
But they do.
Not Annie, but everyone else does.
No, I would say nobody else cares.
Aww. So, round one, I played against Walter, and I believe it's Langen... It's not F, though. He told me how it's pronounced.
Walter from Atlanta.
Yeah, Walter from Atlanta. It's like Walter Langendorf or something like that in his native language. But anyway.
Atlantean?
No. the F has like an umlaut or something. But anyway.
Is he from the sea?
Stop. I hate you both so much.
Can he
funny
talk
fact
to
about
fish?
Walter's favorite book series is the Malazan series.
I did not know that.
Just ask him someday.
Okay. He doesn't like him at all.
Also, not even Jeremy. The Chain of Dogs?
He hates him so... We argue a lot, and not in like angry way, but he knows how much I like him, and I know how much he hates him. So we always just have.
I don't think Walter has setting on his dial.
He's crazy.
I have a Walter story. It's kind of a Walter story.
Okay, go ahead.
Story that Walter is the predicate, not the subject. But Walter Hollywood comes up to me Saturday night or Friday night or whatever. He's very angry. He's like, "Oh my god, I'm so angry!" Blah blah blah. I'm like, "What's wrong?" He's like, Walter's playing against this chick, and you can just see right down her shirt, and he's not even looking. Like, Hollywood was so angry that Walter wasn't looking at this girl's tits.
I need to meet this guy. Like, I keep hearing about him, but I've never met him.
Hollywood? I introduced you to Walter.
To Hollywood.
You left so early. I finally introduced Hollywood to Jeremy. Yeah. And by the way, that sounds exactly what Hollywood
yes,
said.
It is.
That is.
Hollywood did so much. I can't even – nothing he did near me can be repeated on air. I have like five stories from Hollywood, but I can't say any of them.
I showed Hollywood transsexual porn at War Machine Weekend, and now I'm apparently his new best friend.
Like, he comes up to everyone.
He is now all about the transsexual pornography. Like, he is in the Bailey J fan club at this point. And during the team tournament, John and I were deploying, and like John's deploying all the models and everything, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden these hands come from behind me and lower a phone in front of my eyes that's playing hardcore Bailey J pornography. Just like, whoo, just right down in front of my face. Like, look at his Hollywood. Just walked up behind me and put porn in my face. Because that's the kind of guy Hollywood is.
That's
sounds reasonable.
Hollywood's amazing. Anyway.
So anyway.
And that's Jeremy,
so,
moving on.
So anyway.
So Jeremy, to also keep you up to date on Star Wars, Peter Mayhew is returning as Chewbacca.
Whoa.
Yeah. There you go.
All right.
I'm sad you spoiled that. I wish you just said Peter Mayhew is returning to play the same role he played and see if Jeremy could have answered.
I would not have been able to.
You ruined it.
I would not have been able to. For the
I'll think of that for next time.
Next time.
Also, you never introduced me to Walter.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
I totally did.
The circle player, Walter.
Uh-huh.
Nope, you didn't. You said, do you want to go meet Walter? And I said, I'm busy.
Oh, okay. Well, I tried to introduce you to Walter then.
We were playing a really fun board game that night, so we didn't have time to go meet Walter.
Anyway, so I played Walter round one. He had his Ebalder list. I was playing my three lists, I should say, for Masters were the Pethag Rush list I've talked about a lot, the Evail list I've talked about a lot, and the Saren list I've talked about a lot. I thought I wouldn't be able to play the Evail list quite the way I wanted because even though I got my Painted Afflictor, it was immediately DQ'd for having Tyranid legs. And so I had to find someone else's Painted Afflictor. So that was a thing, but I did find one.
What are you going to do about that? Are you going to like take the legs off? Or?
Travis is going to follow up for me because we looked in the Steamroller packet after we got home. It's not actually called out, as it turns out, anywhere in the Steamroller packet. Like, there are a lot of things you can and can't do, and they're all in there, and that's not one of them. So Travis was like, that's weird, I'm going to follow up with PP because they should either put it in there or not stop you from playing your model. Because
it doesn't say it has to be 100% nope. Privateer press bits.
It's majority. It's 51%.
It never says you have to use all Privateer press bits,
We'll find out, we'll let people know.
So we'll have an update for people. And I'm not trying to say I'm bitter or anything like that, but I got to play the list exactly as intended. Steve-O, who I met for the first time at Adepticon, loaned me his
Afflictor. To be fair, if Travis wouldn't have made a comment to you in front of Hungerford.
Directly in front of Hungerford about how cool the Tyranid legs looked.
Hilarious chain of events, how you, like, your model you had for 5 seconds got kicked out of it.
Well, it's kind of like how Andy was telling me about one that they let play, but technically, if by those same rules, should not have been allowed, was somebody had a Kador gun carriage that was being towed. Instead of they had replaced the horses with armored polar bears from some other game.
It was just an armored. It was just a giant bear, and riding the bear was a man of war,
which is well over 50% converted.
Well, not necessarily.
The carriage itself.
If the carriage itself is as big as those two pieces combined, it's still majority.
If they were
calf
models, they'd be illegal. Like if it was just a calf model,
yes,
it would be super.
But illegal. It was the gun carriage was being towed by the bear.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It's really more – basically what they talked about is like the weight of the model.
Yeah. But anyway.
Just go like this next time.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Just do this.
I didn't know how to subtly tell Brian that he had what appeared to be an entire sheet of paper caught in one of his eyelashes. And he kept blinking and it was flapping in the breeze. And it was really, really annoying me.
I needed that for later.
Okay.
Anyway, my Masters tournament that I played in.
We're still on you?
Yep. We barely started.
Is it episode 67
yet?
You guys keep interrupting me.
Welcome to episode 67 of the Crippled System Podcast.
I've barely said anything at all yet.
Blah, blah, round two, Walter.
Round one, Walter.
Oh, my God, it's still round one.
Jeremy, you really do need to pick up the pace just a little bit.
Quit interrupting me then. So anyway.
So Game of Thrones appeared last night.
Here's the thing.
If you talk for 5 minutes about your game, yes, there are interruptions because it's one game in 5 minutes.
I have yet to get out so much as my list.
This is not his fault.
No, this one's not my fault.
I'm going to time it.
Okay, well, then you have to shut up. Yeah. All right. So anyway, his lists were E. Kruger, E. Morvana, and E.
Balder?
Balder, thank you, obviously. So he was playing all the epics, and he dropped E. Kruger against me because E. Balder was terrified that I would kill him with Thagrosh, and E. Morvana was just generally not interested in playing. I don't know, he didn't like the E. Morvana matchup, he said. So he dropped E. Kruger. God. So he dropped E. Kruger.
I was curious if Andy would hold that face long enough for you to look at him.
Jeez Louise. Anyway.
Battle reports are amazing.
He had Getterix, Stalker, Pureblood Gorax, Druids, Blood Trackers, and two Gallows Groves. On his feet turn, he pushed my guys and then promptly decided to shoot his boosted gun at my Scythian for no reason and drop all but two of his fear doing that and not cast Stormwall. So I was like, oh, well, you're not in cover and you don't have Stormwall, so let's just shoot you to death. So Warspear walked and shot him and hit him and did like 6 damage. And then my Carney aimed and sprayed him because that's how close he was to my guys and hit him and did a shit ton of damage and he transferred it. And I was like, excellent. go Ravagor. Ravagor goes, aiming, boosted, needing like an 8. It's like, no boss, I can't do it. Sorry, totally
8?
Whiffed.
I've warned you, 8 is the most terrifying number on 3 dice.
Apparently. You'd rather roll a 9.
Yeah, any day of the week.
So anyway, I missed the terrifying number of an 8. It drifted. It still did a little bit of damage to him. So I popped a Stinger out of the pot. Stinger went after him. But my big problem was I knew the assassination couldn't happen at that point because he didn't have to transfer the Ravagor shot. And so I was like, oh, well, it'll be fine. I'll, for no apparent reason, put Draconic Blessing on the Stinger because he's transferring it anyway. So I put Draconic Blessing on the Stinger. I bad-blooded his Getarix that had 2 Fury on him and went all the way down to 2 Fury on... All the way down to 2 Fury for no reason. Stinger did a shit ton of damage, and it got transferred to one of his beasts. Didn't matter. And then I was on 2 Fury with Spiny Growth on myself. I should have been at 6 Fury with Spiny Growth on myself, and I'd have been fine. But I wasn't. So he TK'd a guy. Blood Trackers came in. They killed the spawning vessel that was their prey, and then did a bunch of damage to Thagrosh. I didn't have to transfer any, but I was down to like 3 wounds. And then Getarix came in.
I liked Walter's description of that, where he said, "You know, you went for it and you made a Stinger and everything." And he thought to him, "Or you did Draconic Blessing first, right?"
Yeah.
So he's like, "You cast Draconic Blessing," and Walter thinks to himself, "Well, one of us is going to die now." And then you cast Bad Blood, and he thought, "It's going to be Jeremy."
Yep. Yeah, that was exactly what happened. So Getarix got on me and killed me. Had I camped and not been an idiot, I could have won that game, but I was not. So round 2, I was in the fun league, but still Masters.
Wait a minute. I want to point out that was 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, that was very good.
That was good.
So we'll start again with a new round. Go ahead.
I was interrupted twice in that 2.5 minutes.
No, Andy didn't say anything.
I didn't say a damn word.
Anyway,
what was the other interruption?
Round 2, the paper thing.
Aww. That was before you started. I started with the timer. Round 2. This is all on your clock, by the way.
Round 2, I played against Anthony F. I didn't write down his last name because it's long, but he's from the Dark Omen podcast.
Dark Omen. It's from
Fingerfagafel.
Right, it's a long last name.
I think from Fingerfagafel.
So I wrote him down as Anthony F. I dropped Thagrosh 2 again, or Thagrosh 1 again, because I love Thagrosh, and who cares if I'm locked in because I'm not winning anyway, right? So I dropped Thagrosh. He played Mosar, who, by the way, in the hands of a really good player, is the tits. I had no idea how terrifying that guy could be. Also,
thanks. Appreciate that. Continue.
Well, no. You haven't played Mosar in over a year. You played against me when I was Rhett. With Rhett, Mosar are not scary. In Legion, Mosar has a feat, and that's bad for me.
Hey, Katie, you know that caster you play all the time? Turns out it's a good caster when someone competent plays it. We had no idea.
I think he's just only good against hordes, quite frankly.
This is all in your class.
Also, you look just like your mother.
She is simply unfuckable.
I never said that.
You did.
I didn't.
You're
anyway,
at 115.
Anyway, so Anthony and I sat down to play. I learned a few things about Mosar that I did not know. One, you can stack his pillars, and you have to kill them one at a time, which is sucky. Also, the...
Unless you sprayed on them, because they'd all get hit by
nope,
it.
Nope, because it stops sprays as well, because it's a structure.
Yep. Well, it doesn't hit something on the other side of the spray.
Correct. You can stack them identically on top of each other.
Yeah, and then it's just hitting like the quote-unquote outer layer.
Yep. Mm. So I learned that. I also learned that, and this was a ruling that took DC and Will Hungerford like 5 minutes to figure out, if you put Draconic Blessing on War Spears, making their P plus S of their spears 15, it counts as a pow of plus 14 because of the fact that there's no such thing as P plus S for a ranged weapon.
If, by the way, it took three judges to figure that ruling out.
Yeah.
That would have taken 5 seconds.
Well, it took 3 of them to figure it out.
I guess they wanted to be careful.
They were all impressed at Jeremy's really complicated question. Then his next question is, could he pray?
Could I pray it? And then they were like, okay, yeah, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Because obviously you can't pray a structure.
That's right. He wanted to pray the clearly. Pillars.
But anyway, it did take them all to figure out. Well, the problem was DC was convinced I could not do it. Hungerford was convinced that I could.
Yeah, you can.
And then that involved talking.
Because there is no... There is no P plus S. There's only POW.
Well, actually, it's listed as P plus S on their card, which is weird and confusing. But turns out it's just a weird thing, and it's just a POW.
Yeah.
So who knew? So anyway, he played Mosar, Getarix, Pureblood, Gorax, Megalith, Blood Trackers, Blood Weavers, which by the way are a Holy Terror against swords, and they suck. Gallows, Shifting Stones plus UA, and a Witch Doc Croc. The penultimate moment of the game was I sent in a Draconic.
Oh my god, you're about to use this in the wrong way, aren't you? Go on with your story. I just hate when people use that word wrong. But continue. Draconic. No, continue your story now.
Draconic Blessing. Second to last. Scythian went into... No, this is the second to last thing that happened, actually.
All right.
Scythian went into Getarix with Draconic Blessing, did almost no damage.
whiffed on the charge, hit, did almost no damage, boosted, hit, couldn't boost the damage, and did almost no damage. Like, did nothing to Getrix. But he didn't want to use Getrix to kill the Scythian in response because he wanted Getrix to go kill a second heavy because he got greedy. So he primaled the Pureblood. Pureblood charged my Scythian, put the Scythian to 2 health. He's like, excellent, perfect, activate Mossar, crevasse, miss. Oh, sad face. Okay, I guess Getrix activates, snacking, kills him. And then I had like 2 war spears right there, so he's like, use the rest of his fury, killing like a war spear and the war spear, the warmonger war chief and stuff. So he was on 4, Pureblood's on like 3, and they're just both sitting there. My Forsaken walks up, does its boom thing, does a crap ton of damage to Getrix, does quite a bit of damage to the Pureblood. Great, excellent. I shoot Getrix with the Ravagor, light him on fire, leave him at like 6 health. That's all I do that turn, and then I shift stuff around the rest of the table, whatever. So we get back to his turn.
Wait, so which of those was the second to last moment?
So
that was the second to last round.
We've gone through 3 player turns here. Which of those was the second?
The primal was the important thing. The primal and the pure blood.
That was the second to last thing that happened in the game.
No, penultimate was my Scythian going in.
That was the second to last thing that happened in the game.
Second most important. I thought ultimate. Important.
Ultimate means last.
Oh, well, that would be me using it wrong then.
Yay!
You're at 444.
I've been interrupted 4 times.
When I got there and I said hi to people.
So anyway, we did the fire roll. Fire didn't go out on Getrix. I rolled pretty high. Did like 4 or 5 more damage to him because he wasn't engaged. He gets ready to go on with his turn, and I say, pure blood's primaled. And he goes, oh. Pureblood primaled into Getrix and killed him dead. And then that's how that game went for me. So the game swung my way in a big way. Things were going great. But it was that stupid freaking balance of power scenario and he was camping a flag on a hill in the back with Mossar. And I just couldn't get points. Like, you just can't really get points unless you're, like, camping the zone hard. So I was down to, like, 5 minutes, and Anthony went for an assassination against Thagarosh because he's a good guy. He was like, you're clearly winning. Maybe you kill me, maybe you don't. But I'm not going to make you rush through 2 turns in 5 minutes. And when you're clearly winning the game, I'm just going to try to kill you. If I fail, I fail. He got the pure blood on him, on Thagarosh, and he got Mossar, like, spraying and stuff with Shifting Sands, but he didn't manage to kill me, so then I killed him. So, stand-up guy.
That was the last game of Masters.
That was the second game of Masters.
God damn.
That was a penultimate game.
That was almost 6 minutes.
I got interrupted multiple times.
All right, so 4 minutes, if you count 2 minutes. And one of them, to be fair, I said, comment, continue, and then you felt the need to continue the conversation for 30 seconds. So that is included in your time.
How was round 3?
Round 3, I played against Jay from Chain Attack.
The end. How was round 4?
Hey,
I may never make Masters again. I'm going to talk about it, goddammit.
This is the second time you've made Masters. If you're never going to make Masters again, that means you're doing worse as a player. If you're
first time I made
to...
Masters at a con.
Yeah, this is a real Masters, not a mini Masters.
Not Mayhem Cup Masters.
I'm just saying, your goal is to do better, not to do progressively worse.
It's true.
Yes. In War Machine or in life in general?
Both. Okay.
One's already lost hope. So how is Jay's...
I played Evale versus Darius. Darius shot an Angelius just straight off the table between a Defender and a Stormwall. I did the math. Yep, that's average dice. I should never, ever let that happen again. Then I went in, killed his... I purified... kissed, -2 defense, and all that good stuff. His Centurion. Scythian went in, did a bunch of damage, didn't quite kill it. Ravagor shot it, didn't quite kill it. So an Angel made 1 attack and killed it. Then he tried to get the Stormclad to charge the Scythian, but it needed to clear 1 Legionnaire in front of it. He had 2 Jackhammer tries at it, needing a 5, missed them both, at which point he trampled to the Scythian, super didn't kill it, and then I just proceeded to run the table on him. He almost turned it around when the Stormwall came in and did a boosted Pow-10 on the Harm Black Frost Shard, but at dice -2 boosted, he rolled a 6 and didn't kill the Black Frost Shard, so then I killed the Stormwall, and he just conceded because I was already up to 3 control points, and he had the Defender and Darius left, and there was just no way. So... very good game. One thing that he did that I thought was really cool, I need to find. He had these little, like, it almost looked like a felt lined dog dish, but really low, that he rolled his dice in, and it was really, really handy. I need to find them. They were amazing. Last game,
they looked like wooden fruit balls.
Yeah, like they were really kind of cool looking. And he had one on one side that he rolled all of his to hit rolls in, and one on the other side he rolled all his damage rolls in. And it was like really convenient. Like there was no question what he rolled, what he was rolling. It was perfect. It was a really good system.
I've seen people. I mean, his were pretty sweet. I have seen slightly smaller rolls. Things.
Well, he was using casino dice, and so he kind of needed a bigger thing.
It was really cool though. I mean, they didn't get in the way or anything.
Nope. They were really cool. So I asked him where he got him. He said he found him on like. He found them like eBay or something. Like it's not like a gaming thing. You found it.
Well, no, you can find ones like that. They're basically if you go to Gen Con there's like a ton of people selling those type of things.
Okay, well, good to know. Last game I played against Clifton Klein, the story of my weekend was playing a bunch of people I didn't know. Like everyone knows these people, but I don't apparently. So anyway, I played Clifton Klein. I think he's not on a podcast, unless I'm missing something.
Well, that's not an important game.
No.
He's a nobody.
He's not on the podcast, but okay. he listens to ours.
No, no, I know. I was trying to write down, like, I kept meeting people that were on podcasts that I'd never met, so I tried to write it down, but I didn't write them down for him. So, anyway, we were both locked in, Saren versus P. Grissel. So I went first, moved way up with Saren. He did P. Grissel's feet and charged his whole army at me with her surrounded by like a million dudes. And so I like killed a couple of them to give two angels landing spots and completely forgot I needed to actually hit her with Saren once to give her Grievous. So I sent in the two angels and he transferred all the damage and I'd feed it at least, but I didn't do anything to Grissel. And so I was like, oh, well, and then he couldn't do anything in response because Grissel was engaged and all he had was two pirate trolls with guns and Saren was in a cloud on a hill with whatever. She was defense 23. So a pirate troll shot at her, missed, end of story.
If he'd min drifted the fire, that would have been great. Fire hurts.
He did not min drift the fire, sadly. Yeah. So then he tried to jam her up. I cleared her up with a Scythian, moved her up, and had three shots at a boosted 12 to hit Grissel with her throwing knives. Missed the first, missed the second, hit the third boosted 12, and then an angel said, chomp, done. So that was that game. That list is terrifying. And had I not had access to Grievous Wounds, I don't know how I ever beat it with Saren's list anyway.
Like, which list was it?
It was P. Grissel, Molg, two Pyre Trolls, a Rune Bear, Champs, Warders, Creel Warriors, and a Min Creel Stone with UA. Hmm. And it was just a million dudes up in my face, and oh, by the way, you can't use your Animi, and oh, by the way, you can't do this and that and the other. Like, you can't do anything within command range of Grissel, and it was just like, okay. So that was my Masters. I went 3-1. I heard I got fifth. Well, I saw I got fifth. They posted the ranking sheets. And I had a blast, and I hope to do better, but I felt like I did really well.
And Sunday, you just hung out, right?
Yeah. Like, after Masters, I kind of just hung out, played Resistance that night, played some Terra Mystica Sunday, but yeah.
Well, because you and I, we started Wednesday night, and we ended Sunday with a game. We started with Terra Mystica, and we ended with Terra Mystica.
That is true.
It was very nice.
Upset about that?
Hey, well, you could have stayed. You left at stayed. Like 6 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Well, that's because I had to get back.
You could have played. Yeah, we played Terra Mystica.
And I was like, I have to leave in an hour. And somebody's like, well, we could play a board game. And I was like, I don't know who you are, or what games you play. By the way, Nathan,
you know what game is awful?
Red Dragon Inn. But you know what game
that
is
game
good?
Sucked.
Hey, that's my fish. My boss is going to buy it for her son.
Awesome.
Katie, how was your Adepticon?
It was really, really good. I got to see lots and lots of people, and I got to drink a lot, and I got to yell at my husband and hit him, and it was fun.
Yay. And so, you know, a normal weekend for us.
And learned that I was a terrible, terrible circle player. That's what I learned.
You did learn that.
Oh, by the way, I went 9-3 among two Masters qualifiers, the Iron Gauntlet qualifier and Masters. Two of the three losses were to circle. The other one was to JVM.
So again, so he doesn't just have rubbing any... it in. He was like, yes, I realize that you know that you're bad now, but hey, by the way, you're really bad.
I don't think you're bad. I think you don't play enough. I need more practice against you.
Katie, not only is your... complete incompetence as a circle player, embarrassing for you. You incompetent moron.
I'm causing my meta.
You're actively hurting Jeremy because you're pathetic, just borderline retarded circle play fails him.
I know.
I'm not saying you're a bad player. I'm saying you don't play enough.
You're saying that you're worthless as a practice player.
Oh, I need more practice against you.
Against good players. Circle players.
Yeah. I never said that. Brian said against good circle players.
We'll get to that later.
That was what Brian said.
He's not saying you're bad. He's saying that he has no practice against good circle players and that you play circle.
I just happen to play circle. Unrelated fact.
You are coloring what I said. I never said that.
No, I am.
Brian said that.
Question one, Jeremy.
That you're throwing down.
I would like to ask Jeremy two yes or no questions.
Okay.
Did you say that you did not have enough practice against good circle players?
No. Brian said that. No, Brian said that. I said I didn't have enough practice against circle.
You know, he lies a lot.
Sure does.
I think he has proven that he's a good liar. I think
he might be a spy.
Oh, but if Katie looks at my card, she'll say resistance.
I want to hit you so much right now. So tonight...
You're going to beat the crap out of him.
You might not live. Have you seen that episode of Scrubs where Dr. Cox's girlfriend slash wife was talking to Elliot, and she's like, you know how sometimes you just go in and you cut your husband a little bit? Not enough so that it hurts, but when he wakes up in the morning, he's really confused about what happens. Unrelated note. Similar to how me playing circles an unrelated note.
Jeremy, I wouldn't be laughing.
I may need a place to stay tonight.
Yeah, that's nervous terror by laughter.
Just make sure your spare bedroom is working properly. Just check it out tonight.
And whatever demon was outside your window when we played Foretold isn't there.
All right, Brian, you spend 20 minutes talking about your battle reports now.
Nathan doesn't get his
spare time. Okay. Oh, Nathan, you spend 20 minutes talking about your battle reports now.
Oh.
It's such a fun episode for me.
Thursday, we're on Masters. Hooray for Masters. Part of Masters that one of the girls wearing a short skirt and the other judge kept pointing it out. And I was like, you're being creepy. But true story. Then there's a second Masters flight, and I ran that as well. Yes, I was talking to myself. Jekyll
and
Hyde.
You're creeping yourself out.
I usually do. Then Friday, I didn't do anything. We played board games and stuff.
So this is what I'm learning about girls who play War Machine, is that they wear shirts that you can see down their entire way, and they wear really short skirts. So apparently they just don't wear any clothes. This is what I'm hearing.
It is I don't want to generalize things. It's not horrible. Okay, the following is a generalization and not always true. Take that with a grain of salt. But there tends to be a bit of attention whoredom amongst the minority female population of the male-dominated nerd fields. Because, man, are 99% of the people at Adepticon horny, single, borderline, virginal males. So if there's a girl there with a low-cut shirt and a short skirt, she is a goddess.
I will say that I did that one time with the blue dress.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there was a 13-year-old that was playing that day, which it worked against, by the way. That was the last time I ever did that.
That kid did not know what to do with his life.
No, it was creepy.
You lean over to measure your control range, and he's like, I think I just became a man.
it was creepy, and I was like, I never again have to do this, because this is not comfortable anyway.
Everyone's watching him more than they're watching you at that point. It's like on his reverse.
But yeah, so Friday and the stuff and the things. And I played Space Alert, and I introduced Ricochet Robot to Tony, who fell in love with it because he's a mathematician.
That makes sense.
Not Robo Rally. People listening think I'm talking about Robo Rally. I'm talking about Ricochet Robot. It's a different game. But him and Sean and the captain and Keith, they loved it. Like, I left it up in their room, and they played it a whole bunch more, like, later. Like, they said they played it while MacGruber was on. Okay. But they were very important about that detail. We alerted Space a few times, so that was a lot of fun. Andy gesticulated towards me.
I'm very, very excited.
Why?
So, Kurt, cool Kurt, from Springfield.
Right.
Is on the WTC.
Nice! Oh,
hey!
Very
that's
exciting.
Weird. He's not on a podcast.
Darn. What the heck?
Congrats, Kurt. That's amazing.
Yep. But anyway, I just saw it, so I had to announce it.
Awesome. So, there's that. I was really happy. Team Age is a cool guy, and I had, like side anecdotes, and I'd met him a few times. We'd hung out, and I liked him. But this Adepticon, he and I spent a lot more time together, and he actually messaged me afterwards and said, hey, you know, and I felt the same way. Like, we really, like, I think he's a great guy in general, but I consider him, like, more like a friend now. I got to spend some time with him. That was one of the things I liked about this Adepticon, is there were several people that I spent a lot more time with that I knew of and had seen several times. But I spent more time with, and it was really cool. Like, one thing would say I spent too much time with Hollywood, but man, did I spend a lot of time with Hollywood at this Adepticon. But yeah, so Friday was just board games and fun. Saturday was the only time I did anything real official, which that I played in the – or as far as games-wise, I played in the team tournament with Damaris. We had a fucking ridiculous route. It was a 5-round event. Our strength of schedule was 19. Our opponents went 5-0, 4-1, 4-1, 3-2, 3-2. That's fucking ridiculous. Round one was Kruger 2, Haley 2. Round two was Raven Haley 2. Round three was Harbinger Denny 2. And round four was something else fucking retarded.
You guys fought Terminus.
It was Denny. Terminus Denny 2. And then round five was Haley 2, Denny 2. So the funny thing was, the first round, one of the casters was Haley 2. The second round, one of the casters was Haley 2. The third round, one of the casters was Denny 2. The fourth round, one of the casters was Denny 2. And then the fifth round, it was Haley 2, Denny 2. So it was like the whole day we couldn't get away from those two bitches.
So all your games went super. Your first four games went very, very long because of that.
Fucking insane. And that whole time, I was desperately trying to finish any game early so I could leave the building to call my fiance because she was getting really pissed about the lack of contact we had, and every one of my games went to the point where the death clock was like 2 minutes to 1 minute. Like, it was so infuriating. Like, Brian even posted on her Facebook because she was like, I'm a little angry right now, and Brian's like, he's trying. I swear to God, he's trying.
Well, my favorite part was Travis was like sending just random pictures of you playing to her. It was pretty good.
Adepticon is where phones go to die.
So, yeah, it is.
The funny part too is everyone kept on begging me for the rounds to end. It's like, can we please go to four? It's like, no, we can't. We have to go because that's what they want. It's
a grueling game. Although after, like, the team tournament always sounds like it'd be a fun, lighthearted thing to do because it's wacky. It is the most brutal fucking game. Event rather tournament because
I found it pretty relaxing.
Did you?
Every single terrifying caster that's out there, you're gonna see them, and you're gonna see another terrifying caster at the same time. Yeah. Like, it's always brutal, and it's really tough death clock because every second you spend talking with your partner is time being eaten off the clock. So it takes way longer than normal one player event goes. But I did after that event, or the next day while I was judging Iron Gauntlet, Dan from Chicago came up to me and he mentioned a combo. He's like, what do you think of combo Caster X with Caster Y? And I'm like, why do you like that? He's like, because blah, blah. And I said, I think that's illegal because aren't those spells friendly faction? He's like, nope. So I looked up in War Room and I said, huh, that's insane. Can I steal it? He said, yes. So now I know what I'm playing next year at the team tournament.
Dan from Chicago, I'll be contacting you later to find out.
Dan, do not tell him. I do like my favorite thing about it was that if the deployment zones were still 10 inches, 10 inches, I could top of one assassinate with this combo. Exciting. It's 2 inches short of the opponent's deployment zone on top of one.
Wow.
But oh well. So that's that. And then on Sunday I judged Iron Gauntlets and that went really well. It was a great event. Jordan ended up winning it. He played really well. Poor Chuck and Watt both had really rough dice against him. Chuck feated with Gorshade 1 and charged a Reckoner with 5 of the 6 Bane Thralls, and he left it alive.
With a Cortex.
The second, with a Cortex.
That's not mathematically possible.
The second to last Bane Thrall rolled 6-1-1-1 for damage, and then leaving it at 6 hit points, at dice minus 6 charging Weapon Masters, and then the last Bane Thrall rolled Snake Eyes. So he left it with a Cortex, so the next turn, Jordan's like, allocate it 3 focus, feat with Krios. Reckoner activates, kills 4 of them automatically. Ancillary Attack kills the 5th, and it's made Chuck very sad.
Yeah.
But both with Chuck and with Watt, their dice went really terribly, and I thought they were just straight hosed. But man, do I always get reminded why the good players are good players, because at a point where I would have thought all hope was up, they still came back and made games out of it. Like, Chuck got a heavy on to Krios in that game. Like, he made it there. Like, it was really well played. So you can really tell the good players that they do the never give up, never surrender, and they keep working with things. Because Brian had told the story about Watt previously seeing him at an event, and I actually told Watt that about your anecdote, so I could say the same anecdote about yesterday, because I was very impressed by that. But yeah, that was cool. And then it came up again. I said this on a previous podcast, but Jordan and Watt made a good example of this in their game, which is that you don't have to turn to the judge document as how you have to resolve your disputes, because in their game, at some point, the clock got paused. I think it's when we had to clarify and rewind and go over the concept of black spot with CRAs, because it got a little funky and Watt was giving himself extra attacks because he wasn't, you know, it's kind of weird.
It's a weird functionality.
It's a weird functionality. Yeah. It was a totally understandable thing. That may or may not be at the point that it happened, but at some point the clock stayed paused. So Jordan took an entire turn without any time going off of his death clock. And so Watt noticed it. He's like, that entire turn took no time. And so DC and Hungerford and I look at each other in horror because how the hell do we fix that? And Watt and Jordan figured it out themselves. They talked for a minute and they're like, you know, what's fair? Like Jordan's like, you want to take 5 minutes off my time? And Watt's like, no, I think your clock was longer than that. And he's like, 10 minutes sounds good? Sure, 10 minutes sounds good. So they did the math. They took 10 minutes off of Jordan's time and then they went on with their lives. So a reminder that the judge's rulings are summed up in the judge document so you know what to expect when you call them, but you don't have to call them, nor do you have to make rulings that match what those rulings would be. Any amicable player agreement is a perfectly fine solution for any problem.
Yep.
And then we found a leftover mercenary army while helping Privateer Press clean up. Somebody just left a battle foam bag full of mercenaries there. Yeah, oops indeed. I already made a thread in the Merc forums. But if you left a mercenary army in a battle foam bag at Adepticon...
I won Masters of Mercs. I'm done with them.
Yeah.
Next army. Just throws them away after he wins a Master.
Somebody got, like, was it third, I think? Somebody in Hardcore or Iron Gauntlet.
Oh, Ben Lang went Hardcore. We didn't mention that earlier.
Sorry. Oh, we didn't.
Yeah. What?
Ben Lang went Hardcore. We didn't mention our...
Oh, he won Hardcore. Yeah. Good for him.
Did you have to cheat to do it?
No, that's
it.
Oh, jeez. When you play Claws of the Dragon, that's kind of like cheating.
A little bit.
But no, Iron Gauntlet, somebody was running, I think it was the Darius person. He was running Darius Carver. I might be thinking of the wrong player, but somebody was running Carver as one of the two lists, and they ran Carver in like three of the four rounds. So mostly they ran Carver, and they went like 3-1. Wow. And so
he was talking that he wasn't defeated. He was undefeated with Carver.
So it might used to you beat Darius or no? That was in the qualifier. Yeah. So this might not be the same thing then. That I'm forgetting who it was, but somebody went 3-1, and their three wins were all with Carver.
Wow.
So hooray for piggies!
Quagmire is a thing.
Cryoguards are a thing. Roadhogs are a thing. Yeah. Slaughterhouses are a thing. There are many things in pigs that are a thing.
Yep.
That's all I got, though.
All right. Well, we can set it off painful. Well, Wednesday, we got there Wednesday early. We hung out, chatted with lots of people, played board games, went out to eat. The only actual real, well, one of the few times we went out to eat. Thursday was Masters. Me and Jeremy and Dan were all in them.
Qualifiers.
I played Rasheth one list, Zal one list, and someone else. My Xerxes theme. I've talked about the list before. Round one, I get faced with Dan because we joked that we knew we'd be paired off for sure. And Ursa was round one, and we've gone back and forth with Crix and Scorn so many times. And I did it once to face Crix round one, and of course I get it. I play Zal with Malakarn, and he put his caster a quarter inch in the wrong spot, and I was able to get Malakarn. But it was a very ridiculous game. And of course, now the caster I want to hold later is blown. It's a three round three lists. Round two, I get Jordan Knock. He won the event, so you know how that went. My mistake was, I talk to him even after the thing. He figures I should win that matchup 7 out of 10 times. The problem was, he knew I couldn't kill my army. I knew he couldn't kill my army. So he went for the scenario super hard, and I just didn't think he'd go for it as fast as he did, as hard as he did. It was fire support, and I just haven't seen people win that scenario that fast. So it was not realizing that scenario was that winnable that quickly. And by the time I saw him shift, it was literally impossible to stop it. So I was like, well, that's a game. Round three, I faced a circle player, one of many circle players I faced this weekend, and I lost. It was Rasheth versus Circle, and the guy that can do the thing with stuff. Grail. I lost to Grail.
To be fair, we have no worthwhile circle players in our meta.
I know.
I've heard that about our meta.
So I lost to Grail, and I sat there in shell shock. Like, I lost to Grail.
Did he do anything like super super fancy that you didn't expect?
It was just lost to Grail. It was weird. I kind of blacked out during most of the loss. I was like, what's happening? Round two, first game against another Crix player. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I cannot tell you what he played or who he was. That game has been blocked from my memory. I know I won. It was Zal versus somebody. I've been thinking about it all day. Who did I play round one? He was a good guy, very friendly, but I can't remember any element of it at all, other than I won. Round two, I take on an Emorvana player, who I had Rasheth and I had Xerxes. And I'm like, I don't know this guy. I know my Xerxes list is a better matchup, but I don't want to be locked in Rasheth for round three. So I'm going to and I know I think Rasheth isn't that bad of a matchup. So I'm like, screw it. I'm going to throw it on Rasheth. The mistake there was we were playing outflank, which is not a good scenario for Rasheth because you have to go and you have to spread out a little too much, and my Rasheth list can't spread out. And I didn't realize until too late. That game went. He only had like 10 minutes left when he finally won by scenario, but there was 10 minutes left. I had all my beasts alive, but I could just not get positioning done properly in that game. I had multiple rolls on Mirvana because he had this guy was really cool though because he had cubes that he would keep for her life, and he just put the cubes by the death clock, and like that was her life pool. He would pull them off when he would do things. He'd put them back when she got healed. So we both knew what is her life was like because he just had those small micro cubes by the chess clock at all times.
Much better than dice.
And then Cool. And then he had cubes for when he lost aspects. He had like a certain color cube for all the bodies, a certain color cube for all the things. So I would always know at any given time what the status of his beast were. He was an extraordinarily clean player. One time I went for an insane dice roll. I tried to paralyze Mirvana needing a 15 early. If I would have hit that, I would have won the game. I mean, I needed a 15. I didn't get it. I rolled like a 4. My dice were offended that I was trying to go for 15. It's like, you just get a 4. I mean, it was irrelevant. It was under 15, but they're like, they were just telling me, don't try that again. And then later on, he was down like 6 hit points, and his beasts were really, really hurt, and he was down to 2 transfers. So I was going to try to Sunder Spirit him to death. Because I figured even with transferred, he would kill the beast and take some damage, and only a few points would kill him. But I missed every single Thunder Spirit. He was behind a wall. I had to give him either a wall or hide behind a forest. Those are my two options. It was two awful options that I had, and I gave him the wall because it was the least of the worst options. But I lost that game. And then round three, I have no memory of either, but I won it.
You Xerxes someone.
I Xerxes someone. It was someone encountered Xerxes. I was sad about my previous game. that was Thursday. For the day, I was 3-3. Friday, I played some Iron Gauntlet in the morning. Actually, that was almost 14 hours of War Machine on Thursday. Yes. So Friday morning.
Yeah. So the con wouldn't even have started in any previous year.
Yeah. Correct. It's Thursday. We played 14 hours of War Machine. I'm tired.
Go ahead.
So a bunch of us get up early. We get like Keith Hooks and Colin from that one podcast. and someone else and us, and we go over because there's a theater right next door. We all go catch the 10:10 showing of Captain America, which was a really good movie.
It was amazing.
We come back at noon. I play multiple Iron Arena games, and then we realize that the Iron Gauntlet's only going to go 2 rounds. So me and Jeremy jumped in it to get the 10 points. Round one, I took on a Legion player who was actually from Jason Watts meta, so he's very familiar with Scorn. But the poor guy had faced Armiscue lists every single game so far in the con. So he saw my list. He's like, God. He was unhappy that he had to face yet another Armiscue list. And he tried to clear out some models to get a score. It was Incursion. And he was trying to clear out my guys. But like when an Agellius charges in and it's dice even, Agelliuses aren't used to that kind of a thing.
No.
So he got a little frustrated. He wasn't able to clear enough stuff out. And I was able to get ahead of him and actually win.
Speaking of Incursion, I saw a thread on the Merc forum today where somebody was ranking the difficulty of each of the scenarios and how hard they are to win by scenario, and they'd worked out some formula where they're like, you know, if it has a horizontal zone, that's worth 1 star. If it's a vertical zone, it's 2 stars, this and this. And so the number of stars tells you how difficult it was somehow. So like they're like, for example, Destruction is super easy to win because it has a horizontal zone and an obstruction you can kill. Therefore, by the formula, Destruction is super winnable. By the flip side, Incursion is nearly to impossible to win by scenario. And I'm like, I think there's a flaw in your program.
That's pretty ridiculous. So round two of Iron Gauntlets, I wasn't going to feel bad if I won my game because I had no intention of playing the Iron Gauntlet itself because I wanted to play in the Crucible on Sunday. Plus, I knew he'd be too tired to study. But I play a guy who's playing Harby, and it's Xerxes versus Harby. And it's that same fire support scenario I lost to Nox. So I know the scenario is I'm now aware of the scenario and the ease. And, of course, he goes first, and he lines up an entire his – or actually, no, he went second. I lined up to defend one flag, and he completely lit up for the other flag. I'm like, well, this will be interesting. And again, when he ended up winning 5 control points to 4. I just couldn't quite get that one turn of slowing him down. But it was a fun game. But then I got my cool poster. I got a Convergence. It was like a thematic convergence bolster. It wasn't like just one caster. It was like a of the army poster. Like
the battle scene.
It might be the cover of the book. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is.
It's a book cover. It's a pretty sweet poster
with Iron Mother like in the middle. Mother, yep. And then that was a cool poster. Yep. I wanted it.
Well, you should have played more and stopped doing judging. Stop being helpful.
Okay.
So that's Friday. Saturday was a team event. Friday or Thursday, I don't know the exact name, Keith walks up to me and says, hey, Brian, you want to be a partner for the team event? Because we won it a couple years ago. And it was Friday because we both had a bad Thursday. And a lot of good players didn't make the Masters. So he's like, hey, let's play in the Masters. Let's do the team event tomorrow and try to relive our glory and whatnot. And Pat from Milwaukee asked me, like, he sent me a PM 8 months ago saying, hey, Brian, we should do a team event. I'll play Shea. You play, like, Makeda, too. I'm like, cool. And then 3 months ago, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to paint Shea. We'll figure out something later. And that was our entire conversation we've had on it. So Keith, I'm talking to Pat. Keith walks up, says, hey, you want to do a team event? I'm like, sure, Pat, you're out. Pat's like, what? Like, I'm like, it's okay, Pat, you'll get over it. And so me and Keith spend like an hour figuring out what we're going to do.
And you decided to do the exact same list you did two years ago?
When we won it 2 years, we won it in 2011, we did E. Gatsby, E. Denny.
Oh, it wasn't the Sister Act?
Nope.
He and Jim did Sister Act at a local team.
No, that was me and Ben. Me and Ben did that. He did Shea and Gatsby.
Oh.
Or Shea and Haley.
Okay. But the Sister Act had been done.
Yeah, me and Ben
Rizlo. And Ben Rizlo.
Yep.
Okay.
So then here, so we do E. Haley, E. Denny, which we thought was fair. So I'm going to...
You're wrong.
Yeah.
Well, it's thematic. They were going for theme,
yeah,
not
theme.
Power.
We played the two sisters separated at birth who just needed to be with each other.
You know what a thematic sister act would be? Ryas and Saren.
Who is also legit because, man, are they cool.
So I'll just summarize my first three runs very simply. We had E. Haley go first on the bottom of 1 feet. And then E. Denny goes up round 2 feet, win round three. It was pretty much by control. So the first three games were over. We followed that exact same formula. Very straightforward. Every time it was E. Haley's feet turn, opposing turn, where Keith had to be like, okay, now you do this. I just like would walk away for 10 minutes and just chat with other people playing games because I wasn't needed for he was basically the maestro of the opponent's army. And I'm like, okay, you can handle the next 10 minutes. I'm going to go chit chat with people and just wander around. One of my favorite parts of that was Tom Gwan, who, by the way, is amazing. People always swear, other podcasts would always say, always talk about Tom Gwan and say how cool he was. And I was like, someone can't be that cool. That guy's ridiculous. He's a crazy little guy. He walked by us and he's like, you guys, we disgusted him so much. He walked away from us in disgust. And of course, we just started giggling because that was like an odd. It was like an odd. Like, discussing Tom, having him be disgusted by us was just a compliment. So round four, things got a little crazier because obviously, you know, because some of the first parents aren't like, we didn't run into another E. Haley or E. Denny the first couple of rounds. We ran into
I was facing all of them.
Yep. We would run into Butcher 3. We did run into like Iron Mother and Butcher 3. We did run into a Raven Snipe Feet goal. So we had other challenges, but not the other similar lockdowns. Round 3, we ran into Butcher 1 / somebody who I can't remember their cat. It was P. Haley. So we had our first, so it was P. Haley. And Butcher 3. So that was finally kind of, and it was a conquest. It was high armor. It was a huge armor skew span. And that was actually kind of scary. And this turn, we actually had E. Denny. We reversed how we were doing our things because we wanted Denny to lock things in and kind of shoot and send E. Haley in and kind of mess it up. So we reversed our strategy. And we actually got up 4 control points to 0 with like 7 minutes on the clock. And we had killed the Butcher. And we were basically, all we had to do was like next to nothing to win. So a series of events occurs. E. Haley goes over to the flag to TK Old Rowdy away, and then just we'd score. But he had, and Old Rowdy was engaged by Nyss Hunters, but he moved the Nyss Hunters away to like just do another CRA to kind of weaken him for whatever reason. So E. Haley walks to the flag to TK him, but she's within 6 inches of him, so he countercharges her. needs a 10 to hit and does a good chunk of her life. So she still TKs him away, because then I'm like, okay, I got this. TK him away, I'll hellmouth him away. So he TKs him, so the back is away from her, you know, so he's facing her, but the back's to me, and then he runs a squire over, and the squire is back to me. So I turn around with E. Denny, and I shoot off a hellmouth, and I snake eyes it. I almost die laughing at what's about to be our win, because I got P. Haley 12 inches from me, full camp. I'm on zero camp. He's on zero camp. We have a Rowdy and we have a P. Haley, and we're like, well, this is not going to go well. Oh, then he also tried to. The thing that would have got rid of P. Haley is he shot the time bomb.
Yeah.
Spell on her. He goes, because that's all started off with, I'm going to time bomb P. Haley. I'm going to time bomb her. Then I'm going to air her. Then we can kill her. So I had three focus on Nightmare. And I wasn't paying full enough attention. And I had warned him the turn before, don't cast spells at something next to Pele because of her vortex ability, like cancel spells.
Yeah.
So I warned him a previous turn, not realizing he was shooting Pele on full camp. And she's like, nope, the spell. He hits her with time, the spell. And she's like, no. She pops the focus to get rid of it. So he's like, oops. And then he has Aeris shooter, and then he Aeris misses. So this is also part of the setup of our. This is the chain of event of stupidity. So their turn starts. We did have luckily we had Aeris within 5 inches of Old Rowdy, so he couldn't allocate. But Old Rowdy charges and hits and kills Ehaley. Ehaley drops to the ground dead. I can't stop laughing. Ehaley comes up and like hand cannons me hits. And then we're like, because that was when we were most afraid of. Hand cannon hits me, does a couple points of damage, but then she luckily missed her arcane bolt spells like twice. Oh, and then we were able to just win the game right after that. It was like this. We had the game locked down, but between the counter charging Old Rowdy and the walking into his counter charge of the snake guys and the trying to spell assassinate Pihaley on full camp was just the stupidest. And our opponents like they weren't laughing because they were just like being. We were just shoving them in so bad, so they weren't in as much of a jolly mood as we were, because they had this vengeance moment they could get back at us.
It's weird to me that people playing against Brian and Keith would not be having a jolly time.
Yeah. So 4 rounds, 20 control points, we're ecstatic. There's a great picture of us on Facebook of us just like, before the event started, we both were smiling at the camera in a very, very,
creepy.
I don't know.
There was someone Grinch-like. Behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, we had John Demers' butt behind us. It was all
no. Who is the picture that had Bender butt? Who had Bender photobomb?
When the day started, we took a picture of you and John together.
Oh, that was us.
Yeah, with Bender behind.
And there's someone in a Bender costume for the team for the FEMA.
It was
event.
Dan from Chicago.
Dan from Chicago.
No, it was not. It was Dan from Milwaukee. Yeah. Dan
Garces. From Milwaukee. Yeah. I apologize. Yes. So I don't realize in the back of the picture because Bender was sitting in a chair just kind of laying back and relaxing. But it looks like he's like looking over the shoulder of Nathan the way the picture came out. So because I posted on our Twitter feed and the first person's like, I can't stop seeing Bender, and I'm like, what? Where's Bender? I look at the picture. I realize that Bender had photobombed the thing. So then we talked about round four. It was great because round five. So it was obviously me and Keith versus Nathan and John.
Who, by the way, I didn't mention when I was doing it. We were running Krios Iron Mother because harm from her servitors is not actually the same ability. It's harm from Ayana. It's Imperil and Kissalilis, so you can double harm things. And you can harm three different things in that list, so it's kind of cool. Plus, if you knock something down with Krios' feet and then drag it with the Prime Axiom, it dies.
Yeah.
So we did that to casters. It was fun.
Even before
we were the opposite of you. Yeah. We won our first four games with zero control points, whereas you won all of them with five control points.
So, yes, it was cool because we sat down. We get such a huge crowd. Even though the game is intense, we're just like we're chatting with our opponents. We're chatting with the crowd. It's like it's a cooperative. Everyone's kind of just in the game. And I have to mention one of the things. It didn't change the game, but Travis, it amused. Well, I got a good laugh.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you.
So after Nathan killboxes himself, we're like, okay, we obviously have to charge Denny over there, and we need to killbox him. Because if Denny was too far away, he could have just walked out. But luckily, I had to get TK'd in charge of the full 10 and then defeat. So I run my Bane Thralls, and I get him information. I have a Bane Thrall exactly where I need to go. And the way the rules work, if you charge a model, but I think if you cast this kill with a spell, you don't have to make your charge attack, so then I could stay in corporal. Because I was in corporal, and I didn't want to go corporal. So I charged the Bane, I cast Venom, I hit, and I kill, and it's Bane Thralls, I have the standard. So I'm about to roll my tough check.
No, you're not about to. I
roll
six.
My tough check. I roll my tough check,
which means he has to make his charge attack and turn corporeal. Yep.
So I pick up the dice to make the check. Travis, the judge, it was a final game, he's watching, he pauses the clock, and he points at the fact that when I ran my Banes in a rush forward to get the position, I forgot to move my standard. The standard was out of formation, so I could not make the tough check, so I had to move the model.
You had already made and passed it, too. He had passed the tough check.
Yeah, he passed
the tough check. And Travis was like, no, your standard's back here. They're not tough. You fucker.
Otherwise, I would have blown. Because I was going to recast Venom to hit him. I was going to keep trying to cast Venom. I was going to blow all my focus on my defense.
Yeah, so. Either you were going to blow all your focus and or you were going to turn corporeal.
Yeah.
I mean, at least then we could have killed you and, yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's an interesting tactic, though. I did not know that about that.
It
was not intentional.
Keith was charging models, and then
you don't know that.
Keith would charge a model, and then he came out of combat, so we have to make the attack as well. He was doing like a weird because the way the combat phase, the movement phase ends in the combat phase,
it makes sense. I just didn't.
Yeah. I did something. I forget who it was. It was Demeris. Like I did something. He was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe you can do that." Which was that. when we killed Terminus against Chuck and Hollywood, I had a servitor. So I was like, Iron Mother charges a servitor, one of her guys, and that John's like, you need that servitor to arc. And I said, I know that I need that servitor to arc. Iron Mother has successfully reached melee range with her charge target. Now another member of her unit, this servitor, is going to run 14 inches forward. Whoop! And John's like, oh my god, hacks!
Yeah, I got rinsed on the forums when I said I didn't think that was legal, and he was like, yeah, no, 100% is.
Of course it's legal. You can do that with unit members too, like regular guys. You can have a Steelhead charge, you know, Steelhead A can charge Steelhead B, who then just runs away. It's perfectly legal.
I'll have to find out if I can use that in my Makeda 3 list, if I can somehow charge my guy and have him charge out to see if I can.
And that way you get those extra 3 inches on Makeda without having to kill anything.
Yeah.
But it's especially useful for Iron Mother. Yeah, there's the Bender photobomb picture. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's on our Twitter feed.
It's an amazing picture, though.
I did forget to mention it. I know I'm pooping on your battle report, but our game against Hollywood and Chuck was around 4. We had the Prime Axiom go up and tow in Deathjack and kill it. Then Terminus and 5 Bane Thralls killed Prime Axiom. So Iron Mother's like, I got this shit. So she charged in Thresher, killed all of those Bane Thralls. Well, killed like 3 of them, and then Shrapnel Swarm killed the other 2 so that we could shoot Terminus to death with Reckoners. Or with Redeemers. What's the little ones with AoE3?
He was shooting Redeemers.
Redeemers. Yeah. So like Iron Mother like did all that, got rid of his sack pawn so we could kill him. Then she face tanked. 3 Bane Thralls charged into her, and then Denegra charged in to try to Dark Banish her over into range of Nightmare, but she only went 3 inches away because it was 2 focus plus 1. So then Iron Mother rotated around, because she feeded on us. I'm like, I can still rotate, so I rotated around. Because he'd done 3 inches away instead of, like, 1 or 2, I was not in melee, so she just turned around and Aperture chest blasted Denegra off the table.
Nice.
It was funny because first a servitor rolled boxcars to hit her with flare, which was delicious, and then Ayana rolled an 11 to hit her with harm.
Nice.
And then Iron Mother just like boost to hit, need a 15, boom, get off my table, bitch.
Yeah, you guys rolled some bonkers.
Oh, no, she did a 13. She did a 13.
So
but
I have
yeah.
a question. Did you ever complain about your dice?
I did not. I complained about how fat John Ancien was, so I killboxed myself entirely because of him and not my own stupidity.
In our last game, it was the only game that we double feeded the same exact same time. It was basically because we figured with what we did, you guys had a good chance of killing Danny, so we needed Haley to live, because obviously if we get 4 control plates, we both die. It's still pretty irrelevant.
Right.
So, but the double feat was able to keep Haley pretty secure.
Right. Yeah, the Denny feat got you the 4 control points. The Haley feat got you the 5th.
Yeah.
Is what it really was. Because Haley feat stopped us from being able to contest the flag.
Yeah.
So you weren't able to get the 5th one. Or you were able to, rather.
Although John was trying to, like, bribe us with offers, which were pretty poor.
Shitty offers.
Yeah, he's like, I'll trade you this if you don't do something. Like, that's just a terrible offer. He refused to give us a turn. He was basically trying to duck duck himself instead of give us a turn. And he eventually got bored of that. So it was pretty ridiculous. He's like, I'm gonna keep talking. I'm like, well, we all know we could do that. That's a John Damaris ability. So that was Saturday. Sunday morning, I'm very excited. I was tempted to play in hardcore Saturday night, but I had reached my limit of being awake. I literally like couldn't function. So I went to bed like at 10:30. I get up at 6:30 to crawl downstairs to the Commander's Crucible, which I've been excited for all weekend. I get down there, and there's like 3 other people there. It's me and 3 guys. Because there were more. There was, I think, 8 to 10 people. But it just happened that many of them were also Iron Gauntlet qualifiers. And they got to go into the ult. I was also an Iron Gauntlet qualifier, but I'm like, no, I
like
want
Walter
to.
Like Walter specifically.
Yeah, Walter,
he was an ult who got called up.
And I'm just like, I want to not do that. Even why? So then we play. So it's a 2-round event, which was fine. First round, I took on like I fought Iron Mother with a Colossal. Both of my games were with Colossals, which are always fun. And I was afraid of like having my Bronze Vex pulled to death. But I got a Bronze Vex onto Iron Mother and didn't kill her. And I'm like, oh,
that's bad.
That was odd. But luckily, I was able to survive long enough, and then I was able to get my other Bronze Vex eventually on the Iron Mother. And then you can't survive 2 Bronze Vex.
No.
Even with poor dice, 2 Bronze Vex beat poor dice. And then around 2 games, my opponent was like, what does Scorn do? And then I pulled out Makeda 2, and that game was over real fast. Top of 2. I'm like, that's what Scorn does. So
That's one of the things Horn does.
So it might have been two rounds, but I got a plaque and a coin, so it's exciting.
Here's a funny anecdote. So end of the team tournament, Travis is shuffling up the papers and he's getting ready to do the drawing for the random raffle prize as well. He pulls out a sheet of paper, looks at it, and makes the most – the rage and disgust on his face were so palpable. He was furious and he wanted to vomit. Like it was the max. Both were cranked to 11 and I went, oh shit, Brian and Keith won the raffle, didn't they?
We got – so when they did the little awards and they go, you know, Brian Keith get first, we got some booze.
I was one of them.
And then when they gave – when they announced it as a raffle prize,
everyone booed.
It was so – it felt so good. And we took him, like – because, you know, we're like, we're keeping these because I got another poster.
Yeah.
And then I won the Commander's Crucible raffle as well the next day. So I won the last two events I won. I got both raffles, which was pretty great. Although I did give – because it was four of us. I gave the fourth player person the prize. I'm like, here you go. Now it's like literally we all get a prize.
Yeah, that's true.
Nice.
And then we ended the day with, actually, Portillo's. We had time to go to Portillo's.
Oh, yeah.
And some Terramystica. So it was a very good – Sunday was very good.
Sunday was amazing.
I didn't get my onion rings.
No,
bastards.
I did pay for them.
But that chocolate melt – I was going to buy you lunch something to get you back.
Oh, I'm going
to
say
– Oh, you were over there. You paid for the onion rings.
They just didn't give me the onion
rings. The chocolate malt, however, was the greatest thing I consumed in a long time.
Yeah. Me and Nathan have a very similar opinion on malts. They're, a good malt is unstoppable. I mean, you go a lot of places you go and you ask for a malt, they give you basically a shake.
Yeah.
It causes rage.
You need to taste that malt powder. Oh, it tastes so good.
It's gross.
A chocolate malt is so good. Like, I'll drink a vanilla milkshake is delicious. A chocolate malt is delicious. I don't want a chocolate milkshake. It needs that malt. It's so good.
So one thing I forgot about, and you're talking about the days and how horrible Thursday was.
Yeah.
I had blocked it completely from my mind. I spent all day Thursday assembling Striker 3, Gorshade 3, and Father Lucant.
You mean Lucant be assembled easily?
Yeah, Lucant be assembled easily. That's actually, he's not that bad, but if you want him to stay together, you should have somebody pin him.
You need to tell like Travis's angel.
You have to tell
Oh Travis's my god! And I forgot about Travis's angel that happened.
It was Aurora.
Yeah,
this is a beautiful story.
The crazy part though about Thursday is I spent all day assembling those models, and then I spent almost all the night painting those models, so we can get them qualified, so we can use them for the Who's the Boss event.
Did anybody even spin them?
Yeah. Okay, actually, good. We had both Sturgis's, Striker 3, and Gorshade 3 out on the same turn.
Cool.
And actually, that was my good thanks to Jason Watt, who helped me paint them as well. He needed to use my airbrush, and he's like, I'll give you a base coat on these guys if you let me use your airbrush.
He was trying to paint the Scorn Solo. He was really debating using it on, because he qualified for Masters, and he was debating putting it in his list, so he wanted to get it ready in case he did.
Yep. I don't think he liked how it looked, so I think that's the reason why it didn't go. It was a pretty fast paint job. But, no, him helping me with that got me the ability to use those casters. Otherwise, I would have been up until 6 a.m. Travis's Aurora. So this is a good thing to do is pin your models, especially models that are flimsy like Aurora. During the event, she lasted all three rounds of Who's the Boss until the fourth round when the player put her on a hill and she fell off the hill.
Those hills suck.
Those hills were terrible.
And those hills are horrible, but then her wing fell off. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. Somebody else's model for Who's the Boss, and, you know, it broke. So I told Travis, I'll fix her. So I have her sitting down next to me. I'm doing the final paperwork for Who's the Boss. And, oops, damn. And I accidentally touch her. Like, just like,
like a butterfly landing on a flower petal.
Yeah. It's like, boop. And then her staff falls off. Like, son of a bitch. So I get done with Who's the Boss, and I'm sitting down trying to reassemble her. All right, I'm drilling into her left hand, her wrist to put in the hole. And as I'm doing that, her right arm falls off. I'm like, okay, so I'm trying to securely hold her so that left arm doesn't fall off. As I'm drilling it, it just pops off. So I get both arms finally put back on after I drill them into place. Then her other wing falls off. I drill both those wings into place as I'm pressing onto it to hold it into place. Her head fucking pops off. I kid you not. Everything fell apart of that model.
You're halfway through fixing them. I'm like, Travis, how many pieces was Aurora in when you gave it to Andy? He's like, how many are there now? I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's in more pieces. He's like, what? I'm like, well, I'm still fixing parts.
Yeah. Travis, you suck at assembling models. Actually, I don't know what was happening. Normally, he's all of his other models stay together just fine. I think what he was using is some really old glue, and you know that. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I keep my Clockwork Angels basically just in a bucket, and their wings have not fallen off. Yeah. And all I did was use a literally brand new bottle of super glue for them.
And your Aurora has never fallen apart either,
right?
And she's pinned and placed in a whole different position than.
Yeah, because she's in that flight position. She's got a pin going through her knee.
Yeah.
I had two other things about Adepticon I forgot about during my recap. Neither one's a battle report for Katie's.
Thank God.
The first one is, in all four tournaments I played on Incursion, and I heard several people at the tournament walked up to me and commented that they think Incursion's a crappy scenario. I don't personally agree. I like Incursion, but I will say that every tournament ever has Incursion. So if you're like someone who hasn't been to a lot of tournaments, you're like, I wonder what scenarios I'll see. Practice Incursion. You'll see it at every scenario because it's really easy to set up for TOs.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't feel like putting out zones this round. Here's three flags. I'm done.
You know what's really easy to set up events or scenarios for TOs is to not set them up.
Yeah.
Man, did I not set up a single scenario the entire time. It was always just like people would bring up their sheets and I'm like, now bring up all of the scenario markers. Thank you. Now here's three flags. Go put those on your table.
Right.
And then when we put people up to their tables, you set your own fucking scenario up. We're too busy.
Well, granted, there is generally one judge for every tournament.
Yeah.
I'm doing it that way from now on.
That's why I've been doing local events. I just like put things on the table with people before they're setting
up. It doesn't
up.
Really take that long to set up the scenario. Doesn't. But, I mean, it's when you're the only judge.
When you're the only judge, it takes forever.
It's a lot faster for two people to set up one scenario than it is for one person to set up 20.
Yes. Like, so. Exactly.
And then the other thing I want to talk about, because it was the most amazing thing that happened to me, at an already great con, the best thing that happened to me. Well, that happens a lot to me, actually.
But it's always the most amazing
thing. It's always the most amazing thing.
I liked it when Alex hugged me.
I bought Fiona the Lash. I waited in line Friday morning to get Fiona the Lash. And I thought nothing. I was just getting Fiona the Lash. And then somebody mentioned to me that Matt and I don't.
DePietro.
Thank you, DePietro. From Privateer Press had said that, well, maybe he would possibly think about painting cool models for a couple of people. I was like, Fiona's a cool model. So I got Fiona and I went up to Matt. I said, hey. I know I just met you for the first time yesterday, but it would be amazing if you painted this model for me. And I heard you might be willing to do that. And like, is that a true thing? And he was like, well, I'm not feeling well today, but maybe get her assembled, get her primed. I'll think about it. So I went to Andy. I was like, Andy, Matt might paint my model for me. You must assemble this immediately. So while Andy was running Who's the Boss, he assembled Fiona, which I really appreciated. And then he handed it to Dan, who was playing with Andy's airbrush, and Dan primed her for me because apparently I no longer assemble or prime or paint any of my own models. And then I walked it over and I said, Matt, whenever you're feeling you have time, I'm just going to leave this here on a little sheet of paper with my name on it. If you don't do it, fine. If you do it, amazing. On Sunday, we were playing Terra Mystica. We might not have been playing Terra Mystica yet, but we're like hanging out right there. And I watched Matt sit down for 30 seconds. It was probably closer to 45 minutes, but 30 seconds. And all of a sudden, he's walking over and giving me the most amazingly painted Fiona the Lash that I'll ever see.
Man's a machine.
It was amazing. He signed the back of the base in perfect cursive. Like his signature is out of control. Like, it's out of control.
Yeah.
And I forgot to bring it tonight for you to seal it. I'll bring it before I play it. I'm not playing it till it's sealed. But
yeah,
there's no way I'm playing it till it's sealed. But but it's absolutely amazing. And then he apologized to me for not having the stuff there to base it for me. I was like, it's really okay.
So you're saying that model needs to go in a Twinkie.
If you put that model in a Twinkie, I will punch you in the face.
So, I think that's at least worth a stabbing.
I might just kill him.
I'm still mad. He made me buy an iPass. Jeremy made me buy an iPass. It was very frustrating.
Brian finally has an iPass. Welcome to the 20th century.
After 20 years ago in Chicago, I bought an iPass.
Anyway, that was the most amazing thing ever. So I have this amazingly beautiful Fiona the Lash now that won't fall apart because Andy assembled it, not Travis, and is painted amazingly because Matt painted it.
Hey, that's my future team tournament partner there.
I want to call like 80 people I talked to already. And had like 20 awesome conversations with, but I just, there's not enough time. Because I had so many great conversations with so many people.
So many cool
people. So much chatting. I mean, we spent so much time with Clocker Vox, and I spent so much time with some of the other podcasts. I talked to Trevor from Chain Attack a lot, and just like a gazillion other, like, insert your name here.
Are you sure you talked to Trevor and not JR?
Yeah. So I'm talking to JR on Sunday. Someone walks up to JR and goes, man, I never knew you two look so much the same. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. And evidently, JR is not JR's most favorite thing to hear. No. But especially on Thursday, because Chain Attack wears their black and red shirts. And on Thursday or Friday, JR was wearing like kind of a reddish black shirt as well.
Yep.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ, they're staying together. I can't tell which one's which.
Just Chili and Lyle all over
it's,
again.
It's yes. Very Chili Lyle. But of course, obviously, the first time we saw Lyle or Kate Chili.
We had Chili. How's it going?
I mean, that's just a thing we do now. But man, yeah. So Trevor was cool talking to Trevor, and I may have talked to the Dark Omen guys, but I didn't recognize them. I think they were wearing Dark Omen shirts, but I can't put that together.
Way to put the math together, Brian.
And people were on Saturday night. People were walking up to me and talking to me. I was so tired. I would have a conversation. I would just wander away, not because I was trying to be rude. I just was so tired. I didn't know what was happening. I just like start talking to someone else. And on Sunday, I might have had a couple back spasms. I stayed over a table too long, and I was having some insane back pains occasionally. It was like spikes of pain. But it was just so much fun. I talked with so many people.
I had terrible back pain all day Thursday because I threw out my back on Wednesday. Because Raylene was angry I wasn't going to see her for 4 days, so I gave her a special goodbye. And I threw up my back. And I told somebody this.
Were you like,
and they're
mopping
like,
or vacuuming?
They're like,
or?
You were doing it wrong. And I said, or very right. It's a full contact sport.
You vacuumed?
Yes. We have a heavy vacuum cleaner. It's a Shark.
I had to carry up and down the stairs.
You got the staircase.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I moved some furniture. And then I fucked her.
I don't know what that has to do with your back.
I was timing that perfectly with Andy's facial expression. He's like, I don't want to hear any of this.
I don't. I didn't need to hear anything because I did hear it.
But I may or may not have had a bedroom next to Andy's bedroom for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, I'm sorry, Andy. I told her to be quieter every single time. Which now that's too much information for everyone else.
Yep.
But I did like, oh, I'm so sad that Andy has to hear this.
Hey, did you read the Cracked article that's like women make a lot of noise during sex because it's to attract other males?
Ooh, Raylene wanted to attract you.
Yeah.
I did. What?
Because if she's making a lot of noise, then you know that she's having sex, and you're like, I want in on the action, and then that's how you have group sex.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Evolutionarily speaking, women are into group sex. That is actually a thing.
So since this was your bedroom, how much semen is still on the walls in this place?
Quite a bit.
I usually did it in the living room.
Okay.
Well, let me put it this way, Brian. The walls used to be brown.
Zappity grumble.
Please.
Time is at these are recommendations. We've been on it for quite a while.
How long have we been on it? What's the time
like
at?
No,
we're good. We're good.
No, what is the actual
135.
Time? 135.
Oh.
All right.
I mean, yeah.
I'll pull up one. Which one should I pull up? Who's got the other
I'm not. I'm too lazy to pull up anything.
What are you pulling up, Andy? Facebook.
I always pull up
so
Facebook.
We will get to the letter we've been trying to get to next week. Cool Kurt's letter, who evidently is down. I don't know who else. We have breaking news who's on the WTC.
I look forward to next week when we aren't able to read it for some other reason. I'm enjoying that running gag of not being able to read that letter every week.
Hey.
One day we'll just open with it.
So, Nathan, remind me to ask you later if you work on Saturday or not, because I'm going to do board games on Saturday.
I work on Saturday.
Son of a bitch. I could have mentioned something that I posted on the podcast in the middle of Jeremy's conversation about that. I was asking our general public if they like battle reports, that you know, verbal battle reports that we do on the podcast. And the second answer is only when Jeremy gives them and the rest interrupt.
Well, mission accomplished.
If this was real time, that would have been perfect. Like, that's hilarious.
What is JR's last name?
Aldrich.
I don't know.
Ewing. JR Ewing.
Don't shoot him.
There you go. It confused me because he's John Aldrich.
Well, his name's John.
His name is John.
Bullshit.
I couldn't find him.
His middle name is Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
There's not many. Do you have Twitter up? Cool.
Yeah, I'm ready. Okay, so.
Zappity Grumble.
How good is Noah's Ark? Best movie of 2014?
I have not seen
None
it.
None of us have seen it.
Not seen it.
I've heard it's really bad.
It's very artsy. It's the guy who did Black Swan. It's an artsy movie.
It's got decent reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, but I may not see it until it's on like video.
It's no RoboCop.
It's got stone monsters in it, I know.
No RoboCop.
By the way, fucking Hungerford was trolling me all fucking weekend, because I'd be talking to people and I'd go walk up, people like, don't listen to Nathan, he liked the new RoboCop. And like, I knew he was trolling me, and I still wanted to just beat him to death.
The night he showed up, he was so excited. He was like, where is Nathan? Because I got to walk up to Nathan and say, Nathan, you know, I wasn't going to watch the new RoboCop, but you recommended it so strongly that I will go see it just for you.
He was asking everyone else to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, he was like, everyone else tell him the same thing.
I love Hungerford. Hungerford, just a note, because I know you listen, and that's one of the reasons I love you. When you eventually kick me out of the judgeship, because Lord knows I'm going to get kicked out eventually, I'll still be your friend.
But he won't be your friend.
That's fine. I'll still be his friend. It'll be like, what about Bob?
Yes, it will be.
Grumble.
What does Katie think of Una the Falconer?
She seems really cool. I haven't played her yet, so that's not... I can't make an
informed answer. We'll have to find a good circle player. Oh, I'll find a good circle player and ask her.
Wow.
Note her, for those of you who don't know, her War Room entry. I don't know if they fixed it yet.
They have not that I saw.
Her War Room entry is fucked up. She has x3 on her ranged weapon.
Yeah.
She has 3 initials, so she's way better than it looks like. Yep. Also, the Argus does have an Animus.
Yep. And it has a really good one.
Yeah, it's the first offensive Animus ever.
Yep. In Mark II. So I've heard.
Zappity.
Rumble. What do you think of the Game of Thrones variations between books and show? Also, if you could be cast as anyone, who... I'm okay with the variations. I think they stayed true to the story. They've inserted some stuff where we didn't have point of view characters, but I'm okay with it.
The one thing I will say that Jordan and I and his mom were talking about the other day was, they have
spoilers.
They leave threads in the book that they make very clear in the show that aren't going anywhere.
Okay, that was a statement. I don't understand what you said.
No, shit that's going to meander or not be important. The show's just like, fuck that noise.
Yeah.
Whereas the book has a lot more open things that still haven't been resolved.
That could or could not come into play, and the show kind of makes it very clear what is and
which would be interesting if one of them turns out to be important. But
yeah.
Well, I'm sure they talked to him. It's kind of like when they did the... when they did the Harry Potter movies, they were going to cut out Dobby because Dobby is not an important character whatsoever. And then, when they made the first movie that Dobby's in, and then they had the script, and Rowling's like, "No, you need to put Dobby in there." Or no, not Dobby, creature rather, because Dobby is
super unimportant.
Yeah, like creature is super unimportant, but Rowling's like, "No, you need to keep creature in that book. He's important later."
I forget who that is.
He's the Castle Black house elf.
He's the crappy evil house elf. Oh, yeah. But you know. Yeah.
And if I could be cast as anyone, who would I be? Dario Naharis, because he's a badass and he also gets to have sex with Daenerys.
No, that's wrong.
Who would you be?
The greatest character in those stories,
Bronn.
Bronn. High five for Bronn.
I would be the dragon, the black dragon, the biggest dragon.
Specifically,
the urban.
The urban dragon.
You're scaring me.
The Alex dragon.
Brian. Also Bronn. Andy, who would you be? Yes, I got the joke, Katie.
Because you didn't laugh.
I'm glad none of us... I forgot that Andy had not read the book, so I'm glad none of us spoiled anything.
Yeah.
Like, none of us were like, I'm glad I would be blah, 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 because that's the one who kills Tyrion. You know? Andy's head would have exploded.
Andy, you seem unhappy.
Because I just said somebody kills Tyrion. I may or may not be telling the truth, because if I say I'm not telling the truth, then you know Tyrion doesn't get killed.
That's true.
So
Zappity?
Jordan
Grumble.
Zappity
Grumble.
Fine.
Go ahead. Fine.
I was gonna say Jordan's mom always pesters Jordan about what's gonna happen, and I told Jordan that he needs to start telling her true things.
Two truths and a lie.
Two truths and a lie.
There's an article about a teacher in a school who his class wouldn't behave, so he's okay, if you guys don't shut up, I'm gonna write down names on the board of characters who die in Game of Thrones. So they he would write down names. He's like, the class quieted the shit fuck down.
Yeah.
So now whenever they thought they'd get knowledge, he starts writing names on, they immediately quiet.
That's hilarious. Like, that's apparently fantastic. It works. You know, like, they'll just start like making noise. He just stands up, turns around, writes Robb Stark stabbed wedding, and then sits back down. And they're like,
I was okay with that spoiler.
Yes.
Yeah.
That chalkboard's going to get full.
So Andy's already zappy grumbled us, I guess. More info about Rex. Not really a question.
He's almost done.
He's almost done.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Is that it?
Grumble.
If you had to pick one Pokemon to be your companion for the rest of your life, who would it be?
Bulbasaur.
Restricted to the first two generations.
Eevee.
Ooh, good one.
I
like Eevee. No, I'm picking hers. I like that one.
Cobbler Goo.
That's not a Pokemon.
That sounds like a Pokemon.
Although it might be a new one. Like, the new ones have weird names.
That might have been a third generation. For a second generation, Googly Goo?
He's a pretty good one, too.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Googly Goo, he's good.
What do you think?
Snorlax. We would just chill. We'd just sit on beanbag chairs and eat Fritos and watch TV.
You
could beanbag chair. No, we'd snuggle. Oh, yeah, I'd snuggle with Snorlax. We'd hug and watch TV and smoke pot.
mine would be either Squirtle or...
I do love Squirtle.
Or Bulbasaur.
I used to call one of my younger brothers Squirtle, because...
I think one of them is called
Daffy Grumble, too. I think that might be fourth generation.
Cobblegoo is my
Cobblegoo.
That's the best possible fake Pokemon. It's just plausible enough. Yep. I can picture Cobblegoo in my head.
Zappity.
Grumble. Brian, in what instances do you find Praetorian Swordsmen to be better than Annihilators?
If you don't like Reach or Berserk.
Never.
Well, no, they have Ten Command. So I love, when I play my Annihilators, they're always clumped up. And I've been playing Annihilators and Praetorian Swordsmen with my Zaw list. So, and I love, Ten Command just gives you such freedom to spread out. And then with the sidestep, you can just dig into, if you want to dig into an army, you charge an army, and then with sidestep, because Annihilators will charge for it, and they'll clear up the front ranks, and that's cool. But Annihilators will charge in, even if they hit or miss, they can sidestep and sidestep. I mean, if they can hit, even if they don't kill, they can sidestep into the army. And they have the auto points, so sometimes if you hit something, you can say mini feet, and you can just kill a model. Because sometimes if you're charging shield-walled guys, Annihilators can roll bad and not kill it. So the auto point and the 10-inch command and the ability to just keep sidestepping into charge lanes or sidestepping into models is helpful.
All right.
So that's why I like them.
All right.
Zappity. Grumble. Moving on to Facebook.
All right. Kurt Heidman the second asks, who tried to sleep with Alex Schaefer? No one sleeps like that if they can choose not to.
Alex, when you get a hotel and you have the double bed, there's always like that like 1 foot space between the one bed and the wall, and that's where Alex wants to sleep. So Alex like crawled into that little space. It's like his little tunnel thing.
Yeah, it was weird.
So we took and it's really odd that he likes that spot. So no one tried to sleep with him. That's just where Alex prefers
it's
to
like
sleep.
It's like a womb, I guess. It's claustrophobic. Yeah. It's very.
And he was in a sleeping bag, so it was very womb like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Zappity.
Cobblegoo.
Why do I choose you?
Will you take requests for the movie Pain Train? If so, could you guys do a Battle Los Angeles?
I already saw it.
I don't know what that is.
It's better than Skylight.
I have not seen Battle Los Angeles. I've just gone by the references of everyone else. Was it Skylight?
Skyline.
Skyline.
Whatever.
That movie was fine until the very, very end of it. That movie, what the fuck happened? It just...
It was a mediocre, big-budget sci-fi movie, and then it was like, let's just be fucking retarded all of a sudden.
Yeah. Watch Skyline.
Okay.
Seriously, go watch Skyline just for the last, like, 10 minutes of the movie, when you'll just be like, what the fuck just happened?
Although I never realized stealth bombers are that agile.
Yeah.
It's a very agile stuff bomb.
Or that sky laser vaginas were so scary.
Yeah.
Semi-related, Captain America was amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it after this. So.
It's amazing.
All right.
Spoilers.
If we finish.
Rapidity.
Okay. Zappity Grumble.
Grumble.
Grumbly Goo.
How do Siege's feet and armor piercing interact? Well, we'll talk about that sometime later.
We'll make that a neat nuance.
Or a neat nuance. Or, I mean,
quadruple damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half armor, double damage. Yeah.
On the first time.
It's divide. Yeah. So it's one quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not counting things like shields and buffs and
right. Right.
Yep. We were talking about doing something.
I know that some people said like there was an argument at once upon a time, and some people were like, it should be like their armor zero because you get rid of half their armor, then you get rid of the other half of their armor. It's like, no, that's not how multiplication works.
Nobody would be funny if it was.
If you multiply by zero.
Yeah.
That's
on fire. We can go anywhere.
Exactly.
Zappity.
Grumble. Literary television characters you would play if they were a caster, and if you have time, what faction would they be and a rough idea of their feat? Oh my God.
What?
Jeez. I pick a literary historic figure.
Put them in a faction and give them a feat.
I need more time. That's a topic. I can't.
I like it, but we might have to make it a topic.
That'd be a good topic for next podcast.
Would Hannibal or like Flaming Pigs?
Podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Topic.
The podcast
saved.
Topic.
Saved.
Check. All right. Yeah, we'll save
make
it.
Make sure to forget about that.
Yep, exactly.
But good question.
Brian Fox asked the best part of Adepticon.
All of it.
Yeah. That was an amazing 4 days.
Getting to see everyone.
Making masters. Farting. I was super excited.
You can do that anytime, Brian.
Sorry. Zappity. I was more of a Nile thing than a
Grumble. Who spoons the hardest? S. Jamie Huddle.
Oh, I thought it was a Jamie Huddle. I thought you were answering that. Yeah. Oh, I thought that was the answer. Jamie Huddle spoons the hardest.
It's right there in his name. I mean,
yes.
Yep.
I didn't think spooning was supposed to be hard.
Well,
only I mean, one time a month.
Zappity.
Grumble.
We're falling apart, people. We're falling apart.
Yeah. For the last 66 episodes.
So Jeremy Kofoot asks, who was responsible for the team tournament loss, Nathan or Fat Asian?
I think we've established
it. I think we've established it was clearly John.
It was John. If he was skinnier, I wouldn't have been so stupid.
But as a team, you work together to make that bad.
It was a team effort. Zappity.
Grumble.
So they ask here, Lesser Warlocks for serious list or fun list, will they be a thing?
They'll be a thing.
I think they'll be
some of them. Some of them are pretty cool. Good.
I don't know if Una will be a thing. It remains to be seen. I think that the Troll one and the Scorn one will be a thing.
You will hot see shot, the Scorn one.
Yeah, the Scorn one you'll see. The Troll one seems kind of one tricky to me. A Hotshot Slag Troll is super good on him.
Super good.
But like, I don't know that he would necessarily run multiple beasts. Like, there's some synergy there where he has the Pyre Troll, and then things that are on fire, his other beasts get to charge for free and stuff like that. But once you put that many points on a solo, they're just going to get killed.
I think him and two Slag Trolls is something Convergence never, ever, ever wants to see.
A 30-inch threat range of Malakarn is kind of funny.
Yeah.
I think, though, having two Pyre Trolls on him basically pays for him. Alrighty, and then you're getting Hotshot on top of that.
Yeah, Perdition not okay in Scorn, by the way.
It's fine.
Yeah. Not okay.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, though, Perdition still costs three to cast, but he is only a Focus 4
sure.
or Fury 4, so he's going to definitely need to boost a hit, whatever he's trying to do.
Unless you have a Kriya paralyzed, which is hitting. But
that's true. Points.
But I mean, there's waiting of little breakers. I mean, the goal 30 inches. It's very gimmicky. It's not a thing you're going to be seeing. It's just it's a theoretical stupidity.
But also, it's like a Sevwall thing.
But also, gang is a thing.
Yeah,
double gang on lizards.
Yeah,
flanking.
Yeah, flank. Yeah,
flanking plus gang on Reptile.
Did you say double bang?
Double gang.
Gang bang.
Gang bang.
Gang gang gang. Gangy.
Being Grumble. Over there.
That was like an hour ago. Oh my god, really?
It's happening.
You get Grumble.
This is Charles Foster III. This is not going to be short.
Oh, jeez.
Top five favorite PP staff members in the order. Skip the reasons.
He just wants us to say he's first. First, Charles. Zappity.
They're all. Well, obviously, my answer is Hungerford's first, and then the rest are tied for second.
Matt currently has a special place in my heart.
When we were cleaning up on Sunday, I said to someone, I think it was DC or someone, I said, you know what, you're now, oh no, it was Plumber. Like I said, you know what, Plumber, you've dropped to being my fourth favorite Privateer Press staff members. And the others were all like, rank them? Yeah. I just can't. Yeah. It's like ranking your children. They're all your favorite unless you're mad at them.
Yeah, I'm not mad at any of them.
You always rank your children. You just don't.
Yeah, you do always rank your
children. My mom's very vocal that
I'm
favorite.
But you don't tell them. You don't tell them.
My mom told us. She'll tell my brother. She's like, no, Nate's my favorite. I don't like you two as much. It's like,
some of your children you just get along with better than your other children. It doesn't mean you don't love them less. It means that they're just cooler people for you to hang out with.
Yeah, you don't have to like them. You're forced into loving them, but you don't have to like them.
My brother Adam, who's the one who listens to the podcast, my mom, she hates him so much. But he knows that. She loves him, but he's just obnoxious.
Is that the one I met?
Yes. Yeah. You can see that.
I can see that. That makes sense. I can't see that being his mom.
Huh? He's like the more obnoxious version of me.
There's a more obnoxious version of
me? Oh, yeah. It's like in the Dresden story when he's fighting like the 30-foot-tall goat monster, and he beats it, and he's like, just wait till my big brother gets a hold of you. It's like that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't believe there's a more obnoxious me.
That is true. I can't believe that. It surpasses believability. Zappity.
Gumble.
Favorite way to kiss Andy?
On the lips.
That's not a way, though. That's a place. What's a favorite place to kiss Andy?
What's your favorite way to kiss Andy?
What isn't my favorite way?
It's like the Privateer Press thing. You can't rank them. They're all your favorite.
Zappity.
Gumple.
Deadpool joins a War Machine faction? Which one? I think the obvious choice is mercenaries.
Mercs. Yeah, mercs he would be a merc.
Oh, he might also be my answer for the previous question.
Yeah, actually, right.
Actually, no, no. He joins the ponies.
The ponies? The Sparklepocalypse?
The Sparklepocalypse.
No, that's a Hordes faction, Andy. They said War Machine.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, it's Zappity.
Grumble. Favorite assassin casters and why?
Evail. Double Blitz a thing. Actually, no, that's not true. E-Lilith is amazing. I love E-Lilith.
Tom Guan.
She's like, yes.
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 Oh, you, I was going to ask, you're, okay, expecting an actual answer.
Yes, our resident expert circle player.
You're so bad at playing circle.
I am. I don't even know which casters are adorable. In my faction. So. You know what, I'm going to go with Mosar as my favorite assassination caster. He seems good, right? Or maybe Kaya. She seems pretty good.
You wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know.
No.
She's got like a sticky though, right? She goes, stick, stick. Yes. And that's her shtick.
Yeah. It's her stick shtick.
Gobbly-goo.
God, I want to take up circle just so I can run her with Kaya. Go now, Kaya goes
stick, stick,
stick, stick. She's gonna get into melee with everything. Go, oh. Stick, 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 stick.
You're gonna pop her feet. The shtick.
The stick, stick, shtick.
The shtick, stick.
My favorite caster is Earthbreaker.
Zappity.
Crumble.
So Hudson asks, what are the odds of John Damaris going to a local tournament on the 18th, on the 19th?
Well, depends which tournament you're talking about.
He has two opportunities to duck.
Because he's going to use each one as an excuse to not go to the other one.
The other one. And then Chad's going to use the duck. Chad's carrying around a duck call the first day, which was hilarious.
Either that or he'll have to work. I have to work.
Yep. And that's it.
The end.
The ends.
And...
Oh, wait. Sorry, there's two more.
Fuckers.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Does Jeremy even lift? Saw him at Adepticon, and dude's got chicken arms.
Zap.
Yeah, man, your face is adorable.
Wait a minute.
Guys, that's the face that Travis made when he drew Brian and Keith in the raffle, by the way. That anger and disgust.
All the better reason for us to start a video podcast.
Jeremy, is he wrong?
I never thought I had chicken arms, no, but apparently.
That's because chickens don't have arms.
Zappity. For the love of God, Zappity.
And the last question here is, Nathan, any tips on modeling those pirate hats on your models? Slice off the top of the head or hollow out the hat or something else?
The hat's already hollow.
Yep.
So for almost anybody with an actual head, it'll actually fit on right away. The only ones that I had to do, I didn't do it yet because I wanted them done for Adepticon, but I'm going to actually break the hats off and carve their heads down a bit, where if you're doing Convergence specifically, the Clockwork Angel leader has like a larger, it looks like a headdress thing, so I'm going to have to figure out something to do about them. But every single other ones, the Obstructors, the Reductors, the Optivix Directive, and the Angel Grunts, all the heads just fit perfectly. So if you're doing it if you're ripping me off specifically on Convergence, then you don't have to do anything except for the Angel leaders. Just pops right on. And the same is probably going to be true of everybody else, as long as they have a normal head.
Well, a lot of factions, they're modeled with helmets.
It'd be funny on trolls.
That is true.
Like little tiny hats.
Yeah, the trolls, they just almost look like yarmulkes. But I mean, it comes hollow already because Bard actually does have a fully sculpted head, yep. And the hat just fits right on top of it. So like Bard hats look great. Put them on Risen, put them on whoever. Like, make it a thing. Those things are amazing. I want Private Express to run out of Bart hats.
I'm surprised they didn't just from your order.
Right? I got an extra one. I ordered 100. They gave me 101. Booyah.
Suckers. Somebody can't count.
Oh, so recommendations quick.
Adepticon, go to it.
Yes.
And watch Iron Man 5 in a few years.
Iron Man 5.
I was calling it future. I got my current one. That's my future one.
I'm a toucan man, and they're Adepticon War Machine Weekend, and it's nice because it's like every 6 months, November, April, November, April, and they're both amazing. Gen Con, go fuck yourself. You're too expensive. you can burn in hell.
Well,
I like you, Gen Con.
No. Yeah. The thing is, like, I did the math, and with the way that hotels are, if you could get one, which you can't anyway because they sell out in 45 seconds, even if you had, like, 10 people in a room, you're still spending $300 on hotels. It's just retarded.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
But you save up for it, and then it's not
that fun. It's not more fun than Adepticon or War Machine Weekend.
But I don't go to it for War Machine. I go to it for a completely different reason. Like, I mean, if I said I'm going to con for War Machine, I would not go to Gen Con. But when I want to go to an insanely crazy 4 days of gaming, Gen Con can't be beat.
True. I would rather spend a grand on hookers and blow and have way more fun than I would just paying for parking in hotels at Gen Con.
I don't know if that's true.
How about blackjack and hookers?
No. Distracts from the hookers and blow.
I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad idea. I'm just saying if I would do both.
Katie probably got that reference.
I recommend not playing Red Dragon in.
She anti-recommends.
Oh man, Red Dragon Inn was so not fun.
Sorry, Tony's friend.
I think it was not our gaming group style. I think it might be fun for some people. For us, it was not.
I think it's supposed to play faster than it did, and it played really slowly.
People were tired and exhausted, and there was like a bunch of people playing at the same time, too.
Well, I don't know if it will always happen that soon, but like the game started, and then like a gambling round phase, which is something can happen, and everybody starts the game with 10 coins, and one of the ways you can lose is when you run out of coins. And after that first gambling round, one guy had 80 coins, and everybody else had one or two.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, well, that was not fun.
That happened.
Yeah, well, it's like, I wonder who's going to win this game.
Yeah. Yeah, it got to the point where somebody, like, did the lose your last... I had one coin, and somebody hit me with a lose a coin thing, which I was so... It's like, dude, really? Like, I'm also losing. I've been attacking the guy who's winning with you. Why would you randomly kill me? Like, you have a card that will eliminate me. You don't have to use it to eliminate me. I am helping you. I am useful to you. I am helping you kill your biggest threat. And he's like, oh, I can wipe you out so you get to die, you idiot. So instead of playing my card that made me not lose, I went, oh, darn, I don't have to play this anymore, and walked away.
Some people play for second place. Like, they decide that they can't win, and so then they play for second place, which I don't personally understand, but...
There were six of us still at that point. It was, like, this one behemoth, and the rest of us were all trying to bring him down, and then once he was dead, we could worry about it, because not only that, a rule he didn't bother to tell us when he first got 90% of the coins is that... If he would be eliminated by death from the game, his coins get evenly distributed back out to everybody.
Oh, huh. That's a nice rule.
That'd be good to know.
Yeah, that's a rule. So, like, when somebody does that and gets 90% of the coins, you just kill that fucker and get all your money back.
Yeah.
But instead of not wiping me out from the game and getting all of his money back, this guy decided to take my last coin. Hmm. So that's not how you win games.
No. My recommendation is also Adepticon. It was amazing. You should go. Yeah. If you live anywhere in the Midwest.
Go now and just wait.
Yeah, just go now and wait for next year. I would also say that unless you're like super into the swag, don't worry about pre-reg. There is no line for reg, and there is a super, super long line for people that pre-regged at Adepticon. Little known fact, you don't have to pre-reg.
You pay a couple dollars more if you reg.
Sure, but I'm just saying.
And you don't get a free battle box.
Well, I didn't get a free battle box. Only the first couple get the free battle box. The rest don't. Like, the first couple hundred or first thousand.
Yeah, like, I didn't get a free battle box. I registered the day it opened.
Yeah. Many, yeah.
So, just saying, putting that out there for people that have maybe not thought about that. Andy?
No recommendations.
You did that last week. Did you? Oh, yeah. Wait. Oh.
Yeah, you're trying to get something on me.
You should
watch Idiot Abroad.
No, he told me another recommendation, but I can't remember it. I'm too tired.
Ha, ha.
Well, he already recommended, so...
Yeah.
You didn't see either, though.
I do recommend that if you're at least marginally competent Circle player, could you move to Madison? Because we desperately need any Circle presence here that's worth it.
I beat Crix every matchup and lost every Circle matchup. It was very odd.
Have you ever considered that maybe you're just not that good at this game?
Are you talking to yourself?
No.
All right.
I'm talking to you.
I don't know.
Specifically.
I got some first place coins this weekend, some plaques. Yep.
At least one of them you were carried by Keith.
No, I would say he was carried by me in the team tournament.
For some reason, I was the only person that saw Nick. No one. We would have played that game out because no one else but me saw him killbox himself. Like, that was just a thing that it was like my little secret, and it was so amazing I got to tell Keith. I'm like, Keith.
Yeah.
What just happened over here?
Yeah, I hope you die.
Because I think he thought you were on the same table, too, because John was in the middle. So
we
just were thinking we were playing on 6 feet of table instead of 4 feet of table the way it was set up. So none of us was really thinking about it.
That's the end.
Thanks for listening.
In other news, you know, Jordan's going to play Circle soon, so there you go. There's your good Circle player.